You sure you're old enough for that?
An entire passion fruit smoothie just to yourself.
No, it's water in the bottle.
Crazy, crazy times. Okay, we're going live. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl number 45. The one where we have a look at the Euro Bowl rules. They've recently been released. So are they good? Is it Euro Bowl-tastic? Or are they terrible? Is it Eurovision time? Here with me are three lovely young people. Some people have pointed out I've got a young cast on. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe at Christmas I feel like having young people around me. So it is me and the three dwarves this evening. We have, first of all, the lovely Hargrim, you've been on before. Hello. Above we have Dr. Hellboy, recently promoted. I don't think you've been on since, but lovely to have someone with your amazing brain here on World One Blood Bowl this evening. And new to all of us, in the top corner directly above me, we have Son of San. Dementor, welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl. Nice to have you on. How's your Blood Bowl?
Yeah, it's good. Enjoying my fumble, enjoying my tabletop. Yeah, it's good. Went to a tournament recently, got my knobs out, came fourth. Out of 30-odd, I think, maybe 24. So quite happy with that. And yeah.
Would you describe yourself mainly as a tabletop player? I mean, following in the illustrious footsteps of your much more famous father.
Well, I think I've played more Fumble than I have tabletop, but I would describe myself as a tabletop player. I definitely enjoy Rez more than progression. Maybe because I learned how to play in Rez. I guess everyone does, don't they?
I think that's quite a controversial statement. I think if people learn online, they probably learn either in league play or perpetual play. If they learn on tabletop, then...
I'd assume everybody on tabletop plays their first few games in Rez. A couple of skills, maybe. 1,100.
Yeah, I seem to remember when I was young, I thought everyone was exactly the same as me too. Then you discover there's an entire world out there of all sorts of different experiences. Do you have permission to be with us this evening? Are you allowed to stay up late?
Let's say yes.
Good.
The door's locked.
Good. So if a mad San comes raging in, I shall tell him that I have inveigled you into this, seemingly with his permission. At least I was told so. Now, you've been having a look at the Euro Bowl rules for us, haven't you?
Yeah, so I streamed the first two tiers. They took a lot longer than I was expecting. I got very sidetracked. And then I did some less in-depth analysis on the other three tiers.
Okay. And have those gone up on YouTube? Can we drop a link to them?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I'll put links to this if you're listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube. There'll be links in the description taking you to Dementor's extremely long having a look at all of the rule sets in extreme and some would say excruciating detail, but a very thorough job. I had a look at one of them as I was going to sleep and got about halfway through because I'm a bit of an insomniac. So a really good job there, and it means we have at least one very, very informed person in the room. But we've also brought Hargrim on, because it's nice to have balance. Hello, young man, how are you?
I'm all right, actually. Well, I'm a bit stressed, writing my bachelor's thesis at the moment, which is killing me. Other than that, the Blood Bowl is going better than it was a few months ago at the World Cup. I think for those who don't know...
I wasn't going to mention it.
I am. For those of you who don't know, I'm now referred to as Agent 117 from my very infamous record at the World Cup, losing the first seven games in a row.
Yeah,
after having a pretty good year of Blood Bowl, actually.
Yes, I mean, like me, you went on a high, didn't you? And then were found out in better company. After the first day, I found it quite funny. After that, I stopped laughing. But you did lose the first seven on the bounce, didn't you? Gain the 007 moniker, which was then updated to 117.
Yes.
They didn't even draw the what? Didn't even draw the game.
It didn't happen, so it counted as a draw.
Best game of Blood Bowl I have ever played.
And time well spent.
Yeah.
So things have picked up since then. How's your Blood Bowl been?
It's been going all right. I've had 2-3 tournaments since the World Cup, and they've been going okay-ish. I've been experimenting a lot with Amazons lately, and I've finalized my Boa Amazon build, which I'll be playing for next year, which I'm really, really excited for, because I think it's really, really strong.
Dementor, experimenting with Amazons, again, one of those things you'll come to maybe later in life. Amazons, are they... I confess I haven't messed with them. Now, This cropped up actually in one of the chats on my Discord this week, so let's take a brief aside whilst we're here. Gegster, the famous, the great, the England legend that is Gegster, has declared that new Zons are, in his opinion, not quite as good as old Zons. Now, this was the man who ruled the world with old Zons. Do you agree? I mean, I've been hearing they are the new hotness.
So, I think that statement is, while correct, is also incorrect, because the two rosters play very differently. The new Zons play a different style of Blood Bowl than the old Amazon roster did. Mm-hmm. You have to play less bash-oriented and have to play a much more positional game instead of playing for, like, how many blocks can I generate in a turn? You have to think about what blocks am I taking and where am I dodging to sort of play that positional game, because you can't just have four block dodge guard pieces. You have to take two block dodgers and then whatever skills you go on the blockers. I think they play very differently, so Gegster's both right and wrong, in my opinion.
So where's the new strength if it isn't that wall of blodge guard that was just so enjoyable to face and play?
It's their positional play. They can play positions a lot easier because they have the two strength four pieces, which do so much for their positional game. They've got the two blitzers that have hit and run, which are really good at creating holes in positions to sort of break through.
Mm-hmm.
Plus their movement seven, which makes them good. Plus the throw is actually not too terrible. On the ball, pass, I think it's safe pair of hands they have.
Safe pass.
Safe pass, thank you. So they're quite decent. The roster's kind of okay. I mean, I'm certainly a big fan of it, and I think that the fleshing out of the roster was much needed to sort of refresh the Amazons, because they were a little bit boring before.
Say not, how dare you? Yes, I think everyone was bored to the back teeth with them. Norse got that same sort of makeover a few years ago, so Amazons have been overdue something, bringing them into line with the sort of more modern play. Just something a bit more varied than the, you know, the utility, everyone the same with maybe two positionals that is where we all came from as a rule set back in the days gone past. We'll come to Amazons, of course, when we come to the tiering. Are you attending the Euro Bowls? I should have been asking as we're going. Are you off to Euro Bowl this year, Hargrim?
I'm going for the Euro Open this year. I was hoping to make Team Denmark, but unfortunately was kind of stopped by a little World Cup incident.
I was going to say, they've already got a mascot, do they? Is that?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll get in on the wild card, but it's very doubtful that I will. So I'll be playing for having fun over the next year, testing out my Bow Amazon build, and then maybe if my ranking is good enough, I'll make Team Denmark in 2025.
So there you are. There is someone out there looking for a Euro Open seat. If you have a team and you fancy a Hargrim, then give him a bell. Dementor, we should come back to you. Are you off to the Euros this year?
Sadly not. No, can't. It coincides with, Freshers Week, either the start or the end, and I don't really want to be doing that. I think I could have done
or,
it
of
in...
course, a new term ready for resets. But yes, I mean, good luck with all of them.
Yeah. But I'm probably going to be going to the home nations in June or July, is it? Either as part of an open squad or whatever.
Well, that would be lovely. Yes, I think we'll hear more about that anon. There is a home nations forming with the five home nations, Northern Ireland and Ireland, both planning to bring squads, Wales, Scotland and England, and then possibly a Barbarians team, which I've been asked to look into maybe throwing together, meeting up in Scotland and spending a couple of days just playing the Euro Bowl rules with each other as a sort of practice and also as a tournament that may become a fixture in the calendar, who knows. I hope to go to that myself. I'm also not going to the Euro Bowl. Me and my partner, it's our 25th anniversary next year. And so we decided if we're going to go abroad and spend some time and some money, it isn't for Blood Bowl. I say we. Let's say it was decided, and then move swiftly on from that. Now, we've been talking about, obviously, the lovely Dementor and the amount of effort he's put into preparing something for us all to talk about this evening in terms of looking at the rule sets. And then Hargrim touched upon getting ready for your bachelor thesis. Very impressive. What would that qualify you as?
I will then have a bachelor's degree in English from the University of Copenhagen.
Excellent.
Which makes me eligible to teach.
I've got a bachelor's degree in English. And then I've also got a diploma, which is slightly higher, from my drama school. But not as high, of course, as the large-brained person I brought on, who may actually understand the Euro Bowl rules. Doctor, no longer just the little Hellboy, but Dr. Hellboy is in the house. Welcome, Dr. Hellboy. That means you've got a doctorate, which is much better than a bachelor's, isn't it?
Some might say. I was on before, though, PC. We have gone through this whole palaver before, so yeah.
It's lovely just my age and my memory, isn't it? Yes, we did have you on not long after you got your doctorate. You've had a look at the Euro Bowl rules as well, then, I take it. Are you on your way this year? This year, next year?
Yes, I've had a look at the rules. Currently, I'm not in line for Team Wales selection for Euro Bowl. I might be wild card. There's two wild card spots, we shall see. I think it depends on what races need to be played. The main thing is that I can actually make the date. There was one of the three dates that were being thrown around for the weekend where I absolutely could not make it due to a family member having a rather significant birthday, and it being strongly suggested in a similar way, I think, to your silver wedding anniversary.
But maybe there's other priorities except Blood Bowl in life.
Yes, so saying no, you're not going anywhere other than this place on that weekend. So there we go. So I am actually available, which is nice. I'm open to play in a Euro Open, Euro Bowl. You know, sounds great to me.
But so. Wales now has a competitive structure for deciding who represents them.
Absolutely.
They used to as well. They've not always been there. It's been there for the last 3 years, 4 years? Definitely was there for the last cycle.
It's been building, and this year certainly has been the most competitive selection process, I would say, so far.
Fantastic. And as an Englishman always should be, of course, very proud of little brother Wales.
Speaking of Englishmen, who have qualified.
There's competition for the spots on the Wales team. How lovely. I noticed the Ireland team was announced, so they've settled their team for 2024. Sad news, the 12 people that were picked, obviously delighted. The two people that put their hat in and didn't make it, commiserations to you maybe next time round. I haven't heard yet any news of the Scottish team, I believe, is picked. I saw that. So it's just the Welsh, the English, I think the Northern Irish are more or less together as well. So England, I hear early Welsh January.
The Welsh is early January as well.
Yeah, so the Welsh Open might be something to do with it, I'd have thought.
I don't think so. I think it's just start of January. I think it's just, well, I'm pretty sure it is, though, the Tweakle, which is the selection process, ends on the December 31st.
So two of us think we're going to Euro Open or Euro Bowl. I mean, we'll see. And two of us think we're probably not. But we still think these rules are going to be everywhere next year, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately so.
Oh, there's going out big and early. I also see a grumpy look upon Dr. Hellboy's face. Could just be the lack of seriousness with which I'm taking our subject when I have someone of his monumental learning here wasting his time when obviously he should be writing important theses and shaking the world.
The size of a planet, PC.
Oh,
and I'm here this evening, okay?
I know. And thrilled as we are to have you here, I shall try and at least entertain a small smidgen of that brain power at some point. The Euro Bowl rules have been launched and dropped. I speak reasonable English, though no other languages, as we were discussing before we came on air. And I found them a little bit befuddling. And when I say a little bit, I mean they made no sense to me whatsoever. So if we could just have a little look, they are on eurobowl.eu for anyone that hasn't had a look at them. And the specific rule sets, they are divided into six tiers. That's quite a lot of tiers, isn't it? We have Champions of Zeus. He, of course, the lead god of Olympus and a massive rapist. The Champions of Hera, obviously the queen of the gods. As far as I'm aware, not a particular rapist. Poseidon, king of the seas. Of course, Demeter. I had to look Demeter up. Turns out a sister of Zeus, and of course, one of his victims of rape, as was his daughter. Hades, god of the underworld, and Hestia, god of the civic hearth, sacred sacrificial fire, virginity, family, the state, and Brexit. Quite a lot of tiers. Do we think that's a good thing?
I don't think it's enough tiers. I think you need eight to balance Blood Bowl 2020.
Has your father not taught you about conversational etiquette, young man? You've gone big early there. There's not enough tears. Wow.
Yeah.
Before I'm going to check in as to exactly why that is, Hellboy, tears, six of them. Are you a fan?
Let's all go 5-1. Let's all go back to basics. Let's all go 5-1 and watch Undead rule the world again. No. I think it is important to look at tiering. I think the problem as we're going to delve into, and I should say before we start delving into all of this, as a caveat, so whilst we're about to potentially rip apart this rule set, and Blood Bowlers all around the world will be ripping apart this rule set for the next year, whinging, moaning, complaining, saying this is brilliant, this is not. At the end of the day, all the people who are organising the Greece Euro Bowl need to be thinking about is venue, accommodation, food, drink, and making everyone happy. That's it, basically. And the happiness falls in that very slim pocket there as number 5, and the rule set's in there somewhere, okay? But it's venue, where are we going to sleep, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, and then after that, are we actually enjoying the tournament, okay? So the fact that people will use the Euro Bowl rule set means that we're all going to scrutinize it, but actually for the event that it is being used for, there are 3 or 4 much bigger problems that need to be dealt with first and foremost.
The venue is fantastic, if I have the banquet of a lord set before me on a daily basis, and if I have somewhere reasonable to sleep, I'm still going to moan if the Blood Bowl's terrible, aren't I?
Sure, but you'll be there with some friends, right? You'll be there with your mates, you'll be having a nice time, and then, yes, we're always going to moan. There will never be the rule set that puts, you know, Necro in the right tier, because if you put them one tier too high, then they don't get enough skills, and then the people that like Necro moan. If you put them one tier too down, then they get an extra skill, and then all the people that don't like Necro moan. It's always going to be there's always going to be problems, and it's, we're walking a tightrope, but yes,
Well said, Doctor. It seems you have the cure for this entire episode. We are wasting our time. We shouldn't be here.
Right.
Let's talk about the venue.
Let's watch it, everybody.
And whether they've organised the buses. I guess that's terribly important. Hargrim, how are you feeling about 7 tiers? Now, someone did say this has all come from those blooming Danes and they're all tiers viable rule sets. Do you feel nationally you're at blame for this?
No. I honestly think that some of the tiering options that they've made for the Euro Bowl rule set are quite okay. Like, some races are placed right bang on. Ah, perfect. But I do feel that there are rosters and teams that are completely unviable because of the tiering. I've been a big High Elf player for quite a while now. Enjoyed playing High Elves.
No, you've been a small High Elf player. I do have to correct you.
Sorry, my bad. I've been a very small High Elf player over the past while, and I was really saddened to see how badly the High Elves fare in this rule set. Like, they are not playable at all. So I think to optimize the rule set and make it, like, right bang on, you do need more tiers. I think 7 to 8 tiers would probably hit the nail on the head with this rule set.
Could we have 28, 29 tiers, maybe?
It's the final evolution, isn't it? And the biggest problem with tiers, as just a concept, is that teams rely on different metrics to be good or bad, right? So Imperial Nobility, just to jump the gun a little bit, I think 11 skills is too much, but anything less than 1190k TV is not enough. So ideally,
so perhaps they should
have
a tier where they get the skills, number of money, but not
1190k TV. So you need to have technically, well, a little bit outlandish, but ideally you'd have 2 sets of 6 tiers, one for team value, one for skills.
Now, that does remind me of a tournament organised by Andy Davo. This podcast has long lived in his shadow. But he obviously came up with the formula himself for the rule set in his tournament. And he very much did allocate an amount of money and a level of skills to almost every single team. To the point where there wasn't really a set of tiering. There was just a list of teams and then the money one side and the skills the other. I think if you'd worked it out, there might have been 12, 15 different tiers within that. Are you saying that Davo is the future?
Well, no.
And careful, because we will owe him royalties.
Can I interject slightly?
Of course you can, Hellboy.
A couple of years back, Hawker did a tournament that was a light and dark tournament, team event, and basically did that. I think he gave every single team 3 options of tiering for every single race. So you could have, you know, 6 primaries, like, I think, so let's say Skaven. You could have 6 primaries, You could have 4 and 1, or you could have extra money and slightly less skills. So he did, so Hawker already tried it years ago. The idea's already been done.
Well, there's nothing new under this sun, but it hasn't been done on a mass scale, and maybe asymmetry we may come to. Corn Knight made a lovely comment, who cares what the rules are as long as everyone's playing by the same rules. I think you may find, Corn Knight, that one of our concerns, some of us on this panel, about the rules is that that won't be the case. You will not be playing with the same rules as the person opposite you. But let's, first of all, there is really two sides to this rule set, isn't there? And then there's the piffle over the top with the rapey gods. But when it comes to the actual rule set, we have, if I go to the slightly easier to see version, essentially we have 6 tiers. Tier 1 starts at 1150 and they go up in 10k per tier. Tier 6 obviously ending at 1200. But at the same time, as Hellboy says, they also go up in skill allocation. So you start with 6 skills at tier 1 and then you go up to 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11. At the same time, secondaries go up. The first 2 tiers have 1. The second 2 tiers can have a maximum of 2. And tier 5 can have 3 and tier 6 can have an unlimited amount of secondary skills. So you also get to spend your SP on those skills. Secondaries, of course, will cost you 2. Primaries, only 1. So where at 6 SPP you can have 1 secondary skill, that either means 6 primaries or 4 primaries and a single secondary. So there's the tiering. Now, perhaps before we go into that, we should have a look, because it's here, at which races are in which tier. Tier 1, we have Chaos Dwarves, Dark Elves, Dwarves, Lizardmen, Shambling Undead, and Underworld Denizens. These are the top of the pile as far as the Euro Bowl rulemakers are concerned. They'll be getting 1150, 6 SPP, and a maximum of 1 secondary. How do we feel about those? How's the tiering? How are the races that are there? Do we think they've done a good job?
I think anybody who in 2023 is not putting Tier 1 Underworld, Tier 2 the rest, is just out of their mind insane. There are a few missing, I think. I think there are a few that shouldn't be there.
Well, let's start with anything that we think it shouldn't be in Tier 1. Is anyone of this gang not Chorfs. All right to be with the others? Chorfs, Dark Elves, Dwarves, Lizardmen, Shambling Undead, and Underworld Denizens. There's no huge Chorfs, surprises there.
Chorfs, I'm in. I have no doubt that they should be in Tier 2.
Okay.
Dwarves, you can make a case for Tier 2, but I think they're still fine in Tier 1.
I think the thing that always pushes Dwarves up a tier or two is that no one wants them to be there or to face them. Yeah. So there's never really been a clamour to go, oh, let's get more Dwarves in by giving them a good tiering or a tiering that actually reflects their win rates. So I doubt they're dropping out of Tier 1 anytime soon.
Yeah.
And of course, the worry about them bringing a death roller, although there's thousands of other little rulings there to stop them bringing out a sneaky git death roller. Yeah. Hargrim, how are you feeling about Tier 1? Anything you're surprised is there? Do you agree with Chorfs?
I'm going to preface this by saying I am so glad that Underworld are finally being put in Tier 1.
Yes,
so that I can see the tears of every single Underworld player as they just roll down their cheeks because, well, I can't take more and I can't take more skills. No, in all honesty, I think Underworld completely tiered correctly. And if anything, they should probably be given their own tier. But I have to agree.
A tier 0 and drop a couple more skills off them, maybe.
Yep. Very much.
Yep. Wow. Absolutely. And I have to agree with Dementor and say that Chaos Dwarves are probably in the wrong tier. They need to be put down a tier because they just don't seem. If you're going to bring a tier 1 team, you're not going to want to bring Chaos Dwarves because you could just bring Dark Elves and Lizardmen and Shambling Undead instead because they're just so much stronger. And if you want Chaos Dwarves, you can take Dwarves which do the exact same thing except slightly better.
So, hang on, you're saying that Dark Elves, Lizardmen, and Undead are on your hot list. And, of course, Underworld.
Yep.
But Chorfs are off.
Chorfs are off my list, for sure.
Hellboy, you've been looking pained. Tell us, what is the reason for that malady?
I'm first author on a paper I've done nothing on. I agree with everyone.
I haven't placed Dwarves yet. Are we saying they're over with Chorfs in not reasonable value in Tier 1?
No, they're still reasonable value. Just I think they'd be fine in tier two, but just they're still very takeable in tier one.
Because as I said before we went live, and Hargrim did look pained when I did, I want to come away from this with a sense of which of these teams are meh, which are of course cold, and which are fire, no cap. So I think to me what we're coming away with is that it's four of the old faithfuls: Lizardmen, Undead, Dark Elves, and now Underworld. We're saying all four of those absolutely solid tier one on the money. You'll do fine if you build around that.
Yeah.
Dwarves, your mileage may vary. They'll get you some draws. Chorfs, avoid.
I think if you have a good dwarf player, you can definitely afford to take dwarves, but it requires you to have someone who's a specialist within the race, someone who really understands every single matchup down to the key and knows how to play them exactly how they need to be played in every single matchup.
I mean, the problem I would say as someone that does know dwarves reasonably well is that orcs, mainly that, just orcs, let's just leave it at the word orcs, because they're already better than dwarves, and if they're getting more skills, they're a lot better than dwarves. They're quicker now with the big ones, they've got more strength, and dwarves just don't get enough guard to answer it, if they've got more guard than you as well. So I think dwarves may be dead to me. I think you're being a little generous to them, just because they can sit there and be solid, but I don't expect the top teams are going to be taking them in Tier 1. I think Chorfs and Dwarfs have tiered themselves out of the way. So we do think Underworld might be actually still good value at Tier 1, if we think they should be tiered even less.
I mean, they still get six skills.
What, seven skills if you take Athena?
Yeah. Right. They can get potentially seven skills. They don't need a star player anymore. Plus, if you really wanted to take a star player, you could just take Ripper.
Like, yeah. Ripper, Glart.
Or Glart, yeah. With Morgue Band and with Varag Band, suddenly the two strongest star players are out for them. Okay, what alternatives do they have? Ripper? Pretty solid. Glart? Pretty solid. So now you still have more options. You still have the variants that you need
slightly
in order to
less
build
good,
a strong roster.
But still annoyingly good killers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think with the Ripper build, you can fit in Ripper and the Rat Ogre. So it just gives you another option for one turning.
I mean, I want Juggernaut on my Rat Ogre. I want two heads on my Gutter. And I probably want Tackle on my Blitzer with the amount of dodging filth that's around. I probably also want to drop a leader on my thrower rat, just so I can avoid some toys, some bribes mainly, and a keg or two. Beyond four skills, it's kind of a luxury, isn't it?
I want a dirty player if you've taken
you take a dirty
player and a wrestle maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, because again, blodgers, your tackle might not be in the right position. So it's nice to have, but you are into the nice to have area, not this is how I'm going to build the fundamentals of my team. Once I've got those four key skills, and arguably even leader isn't core, I'm pretty much good to go with what comes out of the box. I do think Underworld are going to be everywhere, on every roster. So if you're a four-person team and you're not taking Underworld, you need to be asking yourself, why not? And have we got someone that could?
I mean, if that's your four-person team, you're solid. You're perfectly fine. I think another nice thing about Glart for Underworld is that he's just the right side of the breakpoint in terms of SP. So Glart costs you two because he's only 195. Right. So you can fit in the four main skills you need.
Excellent. Well, that's something to be considered then. Glart and an Underworld build. Let's move on to Tier 2 because there's a lot to get through because there's a whole second half to this rule set. So in Tier 2, we find Amazons, Norse, Orcs, Skaven and Wood Elves. No great surprises there. They're the other good teams, but they're not quite in Tier 1. They get 10k bonus. They get one SP more. They still only get access to a single secondary. There's no stacking anywhere in this rule set. So, any surprises there? Anything you think is not where it should be? Well, let's start with Hellboy this time, because we all know Dementor's going to actually done the work and will correct us. Hellboy, what's your Tier 2 looker?
I think honestly, Amazons need to go up, Norse need to go up, Orcs need to go up, Skaven need to go up, and Wood Elves are the new Necro, because in most people's hands, Wood Elves are worse. I played against Nippy Longscar recently with 7-skill Wood Elves, and 7-skill Wood Elves are not worse. So in the right hand, and I'm talking about this from a perspective of the, you know, a Euro Bowl team level coach, right? If you are good enough to have been selected for your nation, And yes, I'm aware that some may not have eight people to necessarily choose from, but as a general rule, if you are good enough to be selected for your nation, I know that there are people like Nippy, Store will be salivating at seven skill, Wood Elves potentially. There are very, very good coaches all around the world who are looking at Wood Elves going, oh yes, thank you very much.
Hawker as well.
Hawker, triple skull.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. Look at that.
Just, at the World Cup.
We can all those top Wood Elf coaches in the world who've been sat protecting their 200 plus rankings and now going, oh, now it's time to go again. Let's go.
Yeah, triple skulls getting results, very good results at the World Cup with only six skills on Wood Elves. So I think
as did Nippy. You don't forget how to play Wood Elves if you were good with them in the first place.
Has there been a massive conspiracy enacted upon the Blood Bowl world by all Wood Elf coaches?
Yes.
I did notice that after the rule change, almost no one was playing them at all. And I just figured it was people going, wah, 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 we can't leap anymore. You know, if I can't leap, I'm not even going to play. And going off and playing other races. Are they now coming back and finding out that actually Wood Elves are fine? And that...
Yeah. Well, so you don't... Firstly, most like top-level Wood Elf coaches weren't leaping that often anyway. It was only like once a game, right? Like you can just play Wood Elves normally.
I mean, was it sprint on the catchers? I mean, those catchers.
Yeah, sprint is the biggest hit.
Slow ass catchers now, aren't they?
Well,
when you're talking about the level of coach who's going to Euro Bowl, and you know, and also okay, so let's put it this way: are Wood Elves an auto pick on a Euro Open team? Mm. Probably not. Are Wood Elves an auto pick on a Euro Bowl team? Probably not. But you've got a bunch of guys and girls who are happy to sit there and go, you know what, Wood Elves? Yeah, I fancy those now.
I think the best thing about this rule set, in my opinion, is that there are about five or six teams that you should probably see on every squad.
Mm.
But then on top of that, you've got maybe 10 to 12 odd that you could just slot into those other three. I think it does quite a good job of that.
So is there anything in Tier 2 that we think is a bad pick? I mean, it's only 10k more than Tier 1. It's only one skill more. Do you really think Amazons, Wood Elves, Norse, Orcs, and Skaven are all good value at that level?
I genuinely think that Orcs are a solid pick. They're one of those... For a Euro Bowl team, they're one of those picks that if you need a team that can just get draws, you take Orcs. Because anyone can play Orcs.
Okay, so of these sexy Tier 2 teams... We're not playing dwarves in front of them. We're not playing chorfs in front of them. We might still be picking our dark elves, our lizards, our undeads, and our underworlds, of course. But of these four, if you had to bring one to a team to play in the Euro Bowl rules, which of the five would you be picking? Which is the best of these five good Zons. Tier 2 picks? Zons for Dementor. Amazons for Hargrim.
Amazons and Skaven.
Yeah, I was going to go Skaven. So it's 2.5 for Amazons, 1.5 for Skaven as the pick of Tier 2.
The good thing about the Skaven roster in this tiering specifically is that they get just enough money to have all four gutter runners and the thrower.
Yeah.
They had to sacrifice either the thrower for the fourth gutter or the fourth gutter for the thrower in the World Cup rule set and in pretty much any other rule set. But right now, they are right on the money to have all the toys that they want.
And same with Amazons as well. The 1160 makes a massive difference because normally they build to 1130 with no thrower. And that's 14 men, I think. 14 men apo 3 reroll, maybe?
Right, so you can up one to a thrower, is that?
But yeah, you can just up one to a thrower where previously we'd have to just go down to 13 and get two throwers. So it's quite important for them too.
I think the other thing to take into consideration as well is that I think if you're looking at some of the other options in terms of the blessings when we come on to those, I think some of these teams in this tier offer some really interesting blessing choices because of the extra skill. If they need to burn to fit like Norse, putting a star player on Norse suddenly becomes very interesting because you can actually burn the skills point to get that star player potentially. So there's definitely some interesting SPP skill point choices to be made in this tier as well.
Yes. Yeah. We'll come on to the rules packs later. They are a bit amusing. So we then come to tier three. Now, all the good teams have gone, haven't they, by the time we've reached this? So what do we make of High Elves, Humans, Necromantic Horror, Tomb Kings, Elven Union, and Vampires, all coming in with 1170 cash and now eight SPs and a maximum of 2 secondary skills. What's catching our eye there? Let's start with Hargrim.
I think there are 2 to 3 picks in this tier that are interesting. They're not an auto-include in my book, but they're definitely interesting. It's Necro, It's Tomb Kings, and it's Vampires. Now, I had the joy of playing Vampires over the weekend, and I've got to say they feel like one of those rosters that no matter how many players down you are, there is always a chance. There is just always something you can do. And now with the changes to the runners and the throwers, that now they've actually got them, suddenly their variance increased. So now you're looking at winning more games because of the runners and throwers than with the old roster.
Blitzers or Vargeists?
Vargeist. Vargeist to me.
Oh. Yeah, I knew I'd picked well. I'm proud of you, young man. Okay, so I'm going to take that as a Vampires. You talked up Tomb Kings as well, and you talked up Necro, but it was Vampires that put the smile on your face, and they came out of your mouth hole first. Dementor, what are you liking in Tier 3?
Yeah, very much agree with Hargrim. I think Vampires are a little less strong than I initially thought they were, but obviously I like Khemri. I think Necro are incredibly strong. You'll see a lot of Necro.
And what is it about the tier? Is it a little bit extra money they're now
cash.
Up to?
So, well, the cash and the skills, right? So with 1170, you can get a bench where you couldn't previously. And then with 8 skills, you can only fit in 1 ghoul, I think. So you skill your 8 positionals and you can get like a dirty player
zombie.
You can
fit
something.
In the second ghoul.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, you can fit in the second ghoul. Yeah.
That's going to make some Necro coaches very, very excited. Hellboy, how is it you and Tier 3? What's caught your eye?
So, there are only 3 auto picks in this rule set for me personally. But this is an opinion, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, there are 3 auto picks in this rule set for me personally, and they are Underworld, they are Necro, and they are Vampires. And 2 of those happen to be in this tier.
And why are they giving you the glad eye?
Necro, that is the perfect TV and skills for Necro. That is perfect. You've just given Necro, in the same way as you've given Skaven everything Skaven want, you've just given Necro everything they want in that tier. That is perfection for Necro. And Vampires, so Dementor and I went to a tournament where Torquemada played Vampires, one of the very first tournaments the Vampires have been at, maybe the first week they've been out for a week or something like this, and Torquemada had 7 skills, because Joe, who ran the tournament, asked me about where we should put Vampires. And I said, well, rather than going for 6 like Nafsi had announced, I said, well, you could try 7 skills and see what happened. Like you could, but I think 8 is too many. Mm. And 7 skills was probably, in the hands of a good coach, which Torquemada is, and I would be saying, if you don't know who's playing Vampires on your Euro Bowl team, you probably need to select someone or ask someone to start playing Vampires. And there are multiple reasons why for that, and I will no doubt go into some of them later, because I've got something.
Well, I mean,
there's also a very nice rule set for Vampires, just with the stacking rules as well.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's the amount of SPP. It's the amount of skill points you get.
Yeah.
SP. It's the amount of SP you get to mean that you can burn the one when you need to get the blessing on them.
So it's about giving enough skills to all the Vampires and then actually being able maybe to have some skilled thralls that can do some proper backup rather than just standing in the way and getting eaten. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. And also then, as you said, to be able to burn them to buy a pack and use them in other ways, because actually once you've skilled your Vampires, you don't need those SPs. So those can be spent. But we'll come to the rules packs and what they mean in terms of asymmetrical play in the future. We've all got the same 3. My pick there was Vampires. I think Tomb Kings look quite sexy. I don't really understand Necro, so that might be why I didn't pick those out. But I do think Vampires there are going to be very, very hard to turn down.
I think Khemri are a lot less... Sorry, Hagrim, you speak.
I think the deal with vampires is that, yes, they do really, really well with skill stacking, but they actually pilot very okay. Or a little bit better than okay, just vanilla as well. They're one of those teams that you can build vanilla and they will still be able to pull in results. That's just how strong they are.
I don't disagree. I think there's going to be some really interesting changes to the meta in terms of the races that we see in the Euro Bowl compared to normal. However, there's always going to be some filler as well. And that brings us very nicely to Tier 4. Herring through because there's so much to do. Tier 4 sees us faced with 1180 in money now, 9 skill points to spend, a maximum of 2 secondary skill still. And here they have dumped Chaos Renegades, Khorne, Old World Alliance, and Slann. Tier 4. Is anyone excited by anything there at all? Sorry, I should mention, before we move on, did anyone have anything to say about the fact that High Elves just don't get enough to make that worth doing? Elven Union, a little better, but still a bit meh at what they've been given there. And
I'm going to make some comments on High Elves now.
Humans, because similarly, it's not good enough, really.
I'm going to make some comments on High Elves. So
okay, we'll come back to
I've been, I have been been experimenting with 2 different rosters for High Elves. A vanilla pack roster and a bonus skill pack roster. Now, the vanilla pack roster pilots, it's okay. It's nothing too fancy. It's nothing special. But it struggles in a lot of matchups that you could be expecting to face. And it will struggle in matchups like high strength and some of the more meta choices. Because they are lacking that critical extra skill. They need either 7 primaries and a secondary. Or 9 primaries in order to function very well.
Well,
they're just not there for me.
I quite like this stacking pack for High Elves. So you get your 2 Blodge Blitzers and then you can stack some skills and some catchers. I think it's all right. I don't think it's good enough to be taken reasonably on any team.
But on then any squad. You always have to ask yourself the question when you are stacking skills on High Elves and paying a high cost usually to do it. Are you actually paying so much of a cost that you'd be better off just taking Dark Elves where you could have had those players anyway?
Usually.
And that's one of the problems that High Elves always face, is if you really want the catchers and running around doing all sorts of fun things with those, Pro Elves usually give you more. And if you really want to stack the skills up and turn them into a force that can be a wall and take the hits, then Dark Elves do it better. So they
did
get
a good
very
job
hard to justify.
Last Euro Bowl, Malta was good for High Elves.
Yep,
okay. I played High Elves, came 3rd with Team Wales in the Open.
Odd to see humans not getting any love. Hellboy, are you...
Stuff them.
Okay, not a humans fan. They don't appear to anyone in Tier 3 then.
I'm just going to quickly come back to a Khemri point I was making earlier, is that Khemri 1170 is very nice for them. 8 skills is very nice for them. But the problem is the other strong races, like that, they struggle against vampires. They struggle against underworld. They struggle against Zons. They just it's just the strong teams are the teams that they don't do well against. They do well against Skaven. Well, maybe less so when they
and
get
the Wood Elf matchup is still can be just completely ruined on turn 2.
Yeah,
you don't pick the ball up turn 1, or it's pouring rain or something, you know, or a blitz. And Wood Elves with 7 skills can just run rings around 2 minutes.
And with only 5 Wood Elves, they can do it. They don't need a full team, so you can delete half the Wood Elves and they can still easily.
The other thing I was considering is Count Luther von Drakenborg.
Right,
he's nice. Just have a strength 5 vampire.
Yeah, I mean, he is quite nice. He's very expensive and not as good as he used to be. You can fit him
in very easily.
He's better now on Khemri, at least.
Yeah, so you get 4 Tomb Guardians, a 1 Blitz Rar, 2 Throw Rars, and you have 4 skills left over, I think. So you probably go 3 guard Tomb Guardians and then 1 leader thrower, something like that. It's only 1 reroll, so it's 5 strength 5 players without no trade.
You've really got to believe that he's going to get it done for you, the Count. And I'm not a big lover of the Count.
I'm going to play him at Water Bowl, see how that goes.
Okay. I mean, obviously he's got a load of good things, but that's a big cost to get one player that he's no Griff. I'll warn you of that. He's good, but he's no Griff.
The other roster I was looking at for Khemri specifically was Chaney Khemri.
Yes.
Which I think fits very, very nicely, actually. You're not sacrificing enough for it to be a massive hemorrhage in terms of skill points. But you're in that bracket where it's really, really nice to have. Chaney Khemri is chef's kiss for me.
Well, and importantly, I mean, both of them bringing something to the Khemri team they lack. You know, yep. Both in terms of the pace, the hitting, the agility. There's just things they are adding to a roster that is beautiful synergy with what you already got. Okay, I do want to drop into Tier 4, though. So we've briefly addressed those. No one was talk up for Pro Elves? Yay, nah. Little Pro Elves.
Same tier as High Elves. No reason to take them. Well, no reason to take one or the other, right? If you're better with one, you take it.
I mean, as I said, I tend to think that if High Elves don't get a little bonus over Pro Elves, that's very hard.
Sidestep diving tackle could be fun.
Yeah.
And they do get two secondaries, so... that might be interesting. You could put a couple of guards in, but they just get deleted, don't they? Okay, so into Tier 4. I mean, I just think these are the also-rans, and they're not getting enough to make them feel sexy to me. They've still only got two secondaries, 9 SP, so one more skill, 1080, so they've got 1180, they've got what, 10k more to spend. And we're trying to find love here for Chaos Renegades, Khorne, Old World Alliance, and Super Slam. Is any of that something that at gunpoint you would play?
Slan.
Yeah.
Play Slan if someone pointed a gun at me. And I've played a fair bit of Slan already.
Well, I mean, KFO's Team England captain now. Nobody can stop him from playing Slan.
I'm pretty certain he will, just to prove a point.
Well, I genuinely think they're not bad.
Somewhere in the north of England, a large Danishman's table is being lifted up by the arousal at 9-skill Slan. If Court doesn't take Slan to Euro Bowl, I don't even know. He's the only player guaranteed on Team England, and I'm pretty certain we've guaranteed his race as well.
Yeah, I'd be prepared to put a pretty penny that he will be taking Slan.
Take a good stab at his roster too.
How anyone?
I don't completely understand OWA. Okay, and I'm going to say I'm absolutely willing to say that. However, there are people that do who are getting interested by OWA being in that tier. And again, we can look at star players being an option because you can burn a bunch of skill points. And also, you know, 9 skills on loads of teams is quite nice, really. You know, with secondaries as well. You know, you've got your choice of various positionals, and you can choose to put various skills on them now. So I mean,
even Khorne don't look terrible with skills.
Yeah, but... I mean, Davo's assured me that Khorne are fine. So Khorne are very good.
So yeah, Khorne are the best they've ever been.
If Davo says Khorne are okay, then Khorne are okay. There we are.
Yeah, but he'll be playing Necro or Dark Elves probably for Team Wales.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that I mean when I look at Khorne with 9 skills and that little bit bonus because they're already getting 30k more, I just think there's going to be some very dangerous Khorne builds around.
I think Khorne look interesting in this rule set. And it's the 9 skills and the bonus money that really makes it because it means you can take all 4 Bloodseekers, all 4 Khorne Gores, and take the big guy and then still have enough for 12 players and 2 rerolls.
Like so you can also go 2 Khorne Gores, 3 rerolls, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that third but reroll. I've been coaching them in Super League this season, and the 2 rerolls has been absolutely choking me. Plus, I also made a mistake. I took 2 block and 2 guard Bloodseekers, and I think I'd probably go 4 block.
I think, Seabrawl has really been... Like, I've spoken a lot to Seabrawl about the Khorne roster, and he has said every single time that he can, he will go 4 block Bloodseekers, block on the big guy. Already there, 5 skills set, you've got 4 left. What do you do? You've got 3 left. Yeah. You've got 3 left.
Yeah.
Triple guard if you've got 3 rerolls. Triple guard, Khorne Gores.
2 guard, 1 sure hands.
Yeah, I'd take 2 guard, 1 sure hands.
You could even leader.
Yes, you could. If I was going to sacrifice the sure hands, it might be for a wrestle or a tackle. Because there's still going to be just an army of little filth things running around in some games.
So, it's either that, or you drop a guard to take the tackle or the wrestle. But I'd probably take tackle over wrestle because you have Juggernaut.
I think exactly.
The roster, roster I'm quite interested in for Khorne is just dropping the Bloodspawn. He's so much TV.
Heresy.
He isn't that good.
But then why are you... Okay, he's terrible, but he does... He's the sexiest piece on any Blood Bowl pitch. And, you know, he's got decent AV, he's got all right movement, he comes with Claw and Mighty Blow, if you haven't heard. And that's what all the cool kids do. So
listen, the thing you need to do when you play Khorne is, like, take your hand and write a step-by-step guide to how to play Khorne. And step one should be blitz with big guy. There are no more steps.
Yeah.
Well, so you can... So the interesting thing is, if you can take the stack pack with Khorne, and then you also get, like, I think you get something ridiculous, like 14 men, 3 rerolls if you drop the big guy. Just...
Father, you're not going to let him get away with this. Just because he's the youngest here, surely, you never let me get away with it.
The temerity of youth, I know.
You never let Hargrim get away with it. Why? Because he's the youngest. Are you letting him get away with this, Father?
Because
for goodness' sake, step in.
Because San will come and tell me off. Now, listen, young man, you may have been led astray by the willful ways of the Devo into this Khorne love. It'll do you no good. Ultimately, they will bash half the teams they face off the pitch. The other half, they won't. And that comes the problem. They are incredibly easy to pull out of position. And if you're just... I mean, the three guards are just because you're desperately hoping you can somehow keep hold of your ball. Well, my news for you is you won't. Your ball will be taken away. No one's yet mentioned Chaos Renegades in this same tier. Are we saying they are dead to us?
They'll never be that good, right? Unless you give them... Well, is Borak banned? I forget.
But then
Borak is not banned.
Oh, yeah, I'll take Borak then. Take Borak.
But then Old World Alliance will never be that good, but they are fantastic star caddies. I still have no idea how it all adds up, that they kind of work out. What I'm putting it down to is that there's enough utility skills within the players, with Brawler and Dodge and Sure Hands and things, that the fact they've all got animosity and they all don't work well together and they can't use rerolls somehow makes it okay, but pretty much as a star caddy. I don't think people will be throwing all sorts of skills on them. I think they'll be spending those skills to buy things.
Yeah.
I think the Borak roster is probably the best you can pull out with Chaos Renegades. But then you'd have to convince everyone else that you need 2 squad points to play Borak Chaos Renegades.
I think Raging 82 will make Renegades work in this tier.
Yeah, Raging 82 is probably the one player I would say could make it work.
I think you can also make Bile Rot work with Renegades, just for a 4 strength 5 thing, but at that point just play Khemri, right?
Yeah, they can make them work fine, but I don't think they're going to be a mainstay of teams, that's what I'm saying. There may be a person that goes, all right, I know how to coach that. But I think even with we are getting to quite generous numbers of skills on offer. I just think Slan leaps out from that tier. Khorne, yes, I can see why, again, a Devo might go, I can coach Khorne at that TV. But then he'd look at some of the other options available and go, yeah, but I'd still rather have Dark Elves or look at Necromantic. Because Khorne, you know, yes, they're going to be dangerous. They are going to blow a few teams completely off the pitch with the amount of skills they've been given. But they're still going to be hard to control. They're still going to be incredibly difficult to keep focused on protecting your ball or on taking the opponent's ball. So you best kill things very quickly before someone else goes and wins that game for you. And Chaos Renegades similarly can go fuck themselves. I think Slan, if you're not taking Slan, if you had one pick out of Tier 4, then you're insane. That's enough to get just so much in terms of... I had a quick look, and I started to put Blitzers into the team. Now, any Slan team that's starting to afford Blitzers... I know, you're just thinking, well, then they've got too much.
No, well, the biggest thing, the biggest problem with Blitzers is it's a lino plus a reroll, right?
Yeah. But it's, you know, to have one of them
I'd rarely take
with their lovely jumpy uppiness and their lovely diving tackliness.
Mm.
And again, pop a tackle on it, because sometimes you just need to deal with an elf, a blodge ball carrier. It needs to go down. And yes, you've got your other way, or loads of wrestle. The other option is just say 3 guard catchers and then wrestle on every line frog.
I think I'll probably
continuously go for the ball.
Don't they have max 2 secondaries?
They do.
Yeah. So 2 guard, 1
guard.
Dodge, smattering of wrestle and strip ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for the 2 die leaps into strip ball.
Yeah.
It's horrific, and I'm sure we will see some of those. Because, yes, Slan, not just Khorne, but other people will notice if they've been looking at Slan. that they get some nice stuff. Blimey, seems there's only a few teams we're rejecting so far, so I want to ask you for your top eight. That's going to be tough. Moving on to Tier 5, because we must, that's 1190k now. You're now getting 10 skill points. We started at 6. You can now have 3 secondaries. Unfortunately for Renegades, they just missed out on having block on all of their big guys. They could do if they dropped a single tier. Here we've got the real, the no hopes, the dead to me. The why would I ever coach these awful, awful races? We have the dregs of Blood Bowl. We have Black Orcs. We have Chaos Chosen. We have Imperial Nobility. And we have Nurgle. Now, to me, this is a very weird tier. What are we making of Tier 5?
PC.
Yeah.
I received a message. Hot foot from Rome.
Okay.
This message came from Maximus Dimius Meridius, commander of the armies of the Southeast, general of the OCC, and loyal servant to the true emperor, Spensus Aurelius. Father to a murdered goblin, husband to an irate wife, and he will have his vengeance on the chair on this stream or the next. The message reads, Imperatoria nobilitas potens est, which translates as nobility or OP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I mean, I hate to lean into the current meme, but isn't everyone going to be getting their knobs out?
I think you will see knobs at the Euro Bowl.
I mean, even I'm considering whipping my knobs out.
Well, I'm going to watch Dimmy Witch whip his knob out.
I like knobs, and I'm considering it.
I love knobs. Knobs are great. I'm going to watch Dimmy pull his knobs out in July in Stevenage. It's going to be good fun. Sitting next to him for 6 games.
Would you be probably? 18? Would you be 18 by then? Is that
yes?
Good, yeah. Good. Because I it's all above otherwise. Board. Look, I mean the rest of these. Let's just briefly dismiss the rest of these because the rest of these I think can be reasonably briefly dismissed. Black Orcs obviously are terrible unless your dad's coaching them for some reason.
Well, Panzer is quite good as well, isn't he?
Chaos
Ignite is really good with them.
Yeah.
Chaos She's Chosen, fun. I think, are a little better than Black Orcs, so I think I would take Chaos over Black Orcs in that tier. Nurgle, I think, are worse than both of those. I think they're absolutely awful. And
Nurgle
should have
were
a
nice.
Tier all I'm, of their own, but certainly don't belong up there
argue
with
that.
Proper things. And Nobility should be at least one tier further up, if not more.
I'm going to counter-argue the Nurgle point. What? I think Nurgle are going to be slightly better if they can take a star player. If they can take Glart Smashrib, I think they do okay. We had a tournament here last month, like roughly a month ago, where a decent coach came top with Glart Nurgle.
Who let that happen?
I mean, were they? Was it one of these things where you have 12 tiers and they were in tier 12?
No, this was Euro Bowl tiering. Oh, this was using wow. the Euro Bowl rules.
I think my biggest problem with Nurgle is it's hard for me to look at them now because they were so much better before.
They really weren't. I mean, they were good in long-lived things where they could build big,
so,
but they weren't that good in NAF, and they got a lot worse.
I think the biggest problem for them was losing the ability to go above 1200 TV because that had to be changed to be in accordance with the Euro Bowl charter. So if they could just drop 2 skills and go to 1250, they have a lot more options. But as they are, I think they're hard to be taken.
Yeah, I think they're terrible. And certainly they've never been delivering on any rule set. So, I mean, it's lovely that your friend, you know, with 3 people and a large bottle of vodka or whatever it was, managed to get a decent result with Nurgle. But I'd want to see it repeated at a few other tournaments before I started to go, hang on, are we thinking wrong about Nurgle? Because when we think about Nurgle, we think, don't take them to a tournament. They're terrible.
I'm not going to say that, you know, Nurgle are an auto-include or they look the strongest in the tier. I'm just saying that Nurgle look okay. Yeah. I don't think you should shy away from them and just
okay, but
put
for
them
exactly
away in
the same money,
simply because they're smelly.
I am going to. For exactly the same money and exactly the same tier, I can have Chaos Chosen, which gives me agility 3 on every single piece, strength access on every single piece, and strength 4 blitzing from every single piece. Why would I not do that?
I think we will see Nurgle in Euro Open, and I suspect that the squads which have Nurgle in them are going to be the ones in the bottom third.
You don't think we'll see them in the Euro Bowl, though, Hellboy? you've frozen, or are just finding my question too demanding? Or everyone's frozen, or I've frozen. There's freezing going on, that's for sure.
Are we back now?
Oh, you're all back.
I guess the Discord server's kind of
right. Discord.
Yeah, it's fine. I thought it was me, but no.
Yeah, I thought it was me too.
I don't think we will see Nurgle in Good. Euro Bowl.
Good. Sanity.
Not in Euro Bowl.
I'm just talking to you. The other two can talk to themselves from now. I'm going to literally put my hands up, covering their faces, so I am just going to talk to Hellboy, because you two are not being sensible. All this talk of let's take Khorne, let's take Nurgle. Okay, you take them. I'll take Dark Elves and Underworld and Undead, and we'll see who comes out on top. It won't be the Nurgle. I've talked up Chaos. I don't think they're any good compared to Nobs. What sort of madness is this, Nobs with 11 skills? Surely at the core, whilst we're all saying it's lots and lots and lots of Nobs we're going to see all around the place.
It's Nobs with 10 skills, not 11.
10, okay. But surely they're still Imperial nobility. They're still going to struggle against anything dodgy. They're still going to be a wall of nightmare to orcs or dwarves or anything with any bash. But to anything that can dodge them, they're just going to run around and go, ha, ha, ha.
I think we have to look at it from a perspective of what is going to be meta and how does that affect nobility. Because that is essentially what dominates when nobility are good and when they're bad. And if we look at it, what dodgy teams are going to be like must includes? For me, it's going to be Dark Elves, Skaven, and
Vampires.
Wood Elves.
And Wood Elves.
Yeah, and Vampires. And Vampires. But even the Vampires, the nobility can kind of deal with.
Hmm. Well, Juggernaut kind of neuters them massively, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take the Blitzer. I think a lot of people are looking at the Varguys going, that looks pretty damn good. And I like big guys, so I'm going to take that.
I think if you do the stack pack with Vampires, you can get a Block Mighty Blow Blitzer, which is very attractive.
That is very attractive. However, I'm a big lover of the Strip Ball Blitzer.
I play six.
So once I hit someone and I then strip ball them with Juggernaut, I mean, you can't keep the ball. I just take it away from you, even on a single dice. Yep. It's just easy.
I think Nobs look, for Euro Open, really strong. I don't know about Euro Bowl. I don't think they're going to be too good for Euro Bowl, and I don't think they're a must-include. I think they're one of those teams that it depends on your meta read. If you think the meta is going to be heavy bash, like you're going to be beating a lot of orcs, lizardmen, shambling undead, tomb kings, then you take nobility. Because suddenly they do... Then you start to really do well. And if you're thinking you're going to be facing, we're going to be facing pro elves, skaven, dark elves, all of the dodgy runaway teams, then you don't take nobility. But it depends heavily on your meta read.
Because again, a lot will depend. You've got so many skill points. You've got your four bodyguards, you've got a thrower to throw something on, you've got your blitzers to throw something on. Looks like we have frozen again.
I still hear you.
Yeah, you've come back.
Yeah, well, you're back.
You've actually got more skills than you technically need, which either means you can start spending them on a pack, or you can start skilling up your line fodder. Either which is a bit of a nightmare.
Well, wrestle linemen are incredibly good.
I'm going to put another voice of reason in here as well. I think, whilst I agree that we probably won't see too many nobility in Euro Bowl, and we won't see too many in Euro Open, what we are going to see is a phenomenal number of nobility played at all the other events that are using the rules, I think.
Why that split, do you think? Why the schism?
Because people own the nobility team and haven't had a chance to play it. I reckon that across the next year, at events where nobility can be played, I think we will see people going, oh, I guess I could give them a go at this one because they've now got a nice rule set.
I'm going to take a team I like to the Euro Bowl, play my Nobs here.
No, but don't forget, PC, not everyone's going to Euro Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. Dementor's already said at the start of the show that he doesn't think he's going to be able to make Euro Bowl. You've already said you're not going to make Euro Bowl.
Yep.
So what's to say you've got your nobility team painted up from the box set that your friend painted for you, blah, 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 and you've gone, oh, thanks for doing that, you know, Mark. Haven't had a chance to play with it because the rule sets have been rubbish. Oh, wow. Now a tournament where I can play them.
Do you have a fucking file on me? Because it is Mark that painted my nobility.
In the same vein, I think we will see people at NAF Championships taking Nurgle because there is no other time that they're going to take Nurgle because they're like, well, I could take some other gimmick team, or actually, oh, I'll take Nurgle. Okay, we're probably going to see 10 Nurgle teams at NAF Champs maximum, but I reckon the 10 people that have taken them will be ones who painted a Nurgle team who have never had the chance to play it since the new rules came in. So I suspect that's what we're going to see. Nobility will be one of the teams included in the Euro Bowl, in the Euro Open. We will see a few of them knocking around, but we will see much more, and the data skewed before Euro Bowl and Euro Open because of people playing them at other events.
We've gone big on that, Hargrim. Do you agree? Dementor's nogging like a dog on a back seat with the window open.
I agree. I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of Nobility at all, despite them being quite good in the rule set. I think a lot of people are going to shy away from them because they're a bit sceptical, and I think people are going to be...
Isn't it because no matter how many skills you give them, they're a bit shit?
Pretty much.
I think once people play a few games against them, they'll realise they're not quite as bad as you thought they were. So I think they will see a reasonable amount of play. I don't think they will see as much play as they should in this rule set.
Do you think people will be throwing stars on them? Is that, I mean, they're a great star caddy race if you can get one in there.
They're too expensive.
Yeah.
Also, you're only going to get one star, right? So you're not putting it on the Nobility team. You're probably putting it on another team. Yeah. Like, remember, especially in Euro Bowl, you've got to decide between eight teams.
Like, they get eight teams, two of each.
Okay. Now, we only have one tier left to do. I want to get there because I want to talk about the packs as well. So we then have tier 6. You're now getting a full 1,200. You get 11 star points, star points, skill points. And you can have unlimited secondary skills. So you can have, obviously, only 5 and then one normal skill. And into tier 6 goes, of course, the 4 rubbish stunty races that never get any good results at all. That being goblins, ogres, halflings, and snotlings. Oh, it's the joke teams. We don't need to worry about them, do we? We can all just laugh and move on, surely.
Well, this time, actually, thankfully. they haven't got anything to work with.
There's just nothing exciting for them. Like,
it's a nice change.
I think the only thing you could look at and say, this could be fun to play, is something along the lines of Ripper Snotlings. Like Ripper Glart Snotlings, if that's even playable.
Well, I was following along Yadlga and his goblins in the in the Euro Bowl fumble trial, and he was getting really quite good results against a lot of players.
Yeah, so, I don't hate the goblins in this pack. Oddly.
I think there's
I love goblins anyway. But because so much has been taken away from the goblins for so long, to be able to have 5 secondaries, so I can block both my trolls up, I can have a block ball and chain if I want, I can have a guard goblin, I can afford a wrestle goblin, there's all sorts of little fun creative things I can do. But the problem remains the same, is that in order to get a star, I need one of the packs, which means my team has to agree that I'm going to coach goblins and I'm going to get one of the big cost packs to help me do it. And I just wonder if any team's going to allow people to do that. Yeah. Because without any toys, they're a bit tough to justify, I think, these 4.
Yeah.
But if you do get the star pack on, say, Flings, then they'll still be good, won't they?
Meh.
Or is there no good stars left? Is not Rumbelow or Carla not carry you to glory?
Not as much as Griff can. just playing any sort of halflings without Griff after having played halflings with Griff is just so...
It's so meh.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole tier is meh. No fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of... Have we done this to ourselves? Have we metagamed stunties with their abusive stars and tiny costs?
Let's not be bad.
To the point where tournament organisers are finding on, right, Sodja, we're just going to make them rubbish again.
Yes, that's a good thing. Stunties should never have been winning anything.
I mean, we have seen halflings at 51%. We've seen snotlings, or morglings and grifflings, to be more exact, at slightly over 50%. Is it good that they're bad?
Yes.
Hargrim?
I think it's a good thing. And from a design perspective, they're not designed to be competitive, right? They're not designed to be a winning team. They're designed to be one of those teams where, oh, you have this one thing that you can do. If it doesn't work, you're going to lose. And if it does, you could still draw. Because your team is just that bad. And the fact that they were given so many tools to basically say,
No. Now I'm just going to start winning games because of overpowered star players. It took the joy away from playing those teams to me. Like, if I was going to play Halflings, I wouldn't be playing Halflings to win. I'd be playing Halflings to probably get drunk and have fun.
So some your open team will take all four stunty races.
Someone is going to be that insane. And
someone
exactly
always does.
That.
There will be a group.
Be more than one.
Yeah. So someone will do it. Which of the four has done the best when they allocate those four stunty races? I've got my answer, so I'm going to put it face down here and I'll reveal it at the end of the conversation. Dementor, you've wanted to go first all evening with the impetuosity of youth and not the manners that your father has. Which of the stunties, if you get the four stunties, which one has done best?
I think probably between Ogres and Goblins, strangely. I think Ogres with five block is all right. Better than it was. I think Goblins have things going for them. I think Snotlings are rubbish.
I think Ogre's really interesting. They can have five block, and then if they have the Runt Punter, can have leader on the Runt Punter. With their normal skill. So that could be quite an interesting build. Hellboy, who's done best of the four stunties?
Ogres, five block, one leader.
Okay. Hargrim, are you going to disagree with the wisdom of the crowd?
I'm not going to disagree.
Okay. Well, you're all wrong. It turns out if you read the secret answer, the answer to who's done best is the one that talks his friends into letting them have the star pack. That's the one that will come away with the best record.
Even then, it's meh.
It was an obvious answer. I don't quite understand why you didn't see it. But I do think it's going to be Ogres. I think they're the pick. If you have to take a stunty, take Ogres or Goblins. I think close second is Goblins.
I think something that should be said here, though, is that... again, it's where I'd say it's the pressure on thinking Euro Bowl, trying to win one of the pinnacle tournaments in the calendar. I would like to be, the fact that there's potentially like 16 races to pick from, which could do really well.
We haven't ruled that many out.
That's really exciting, right? Yeah. And I'm genuinely, but then with my fun hat on, silly hat on, I'm genuinely sad that for those people that want to play stunties, they don't have just that tiny bit extra spice to it now. I think in Malta's rule set, there was a line that could have been walked where you could have seen flings taken. I don't think anyone had the guts to do it in the Euro.
There was one person, I think, from memory.
Okay, so maybe there's one, but I think that flings in Euro Bowl, if it was happening, if Malta's rule set was now, I think we would see more stunty teams in Euro Bowl if it was Malta's rule set here. But I think, unfortunately, that's dipped down. And again, it falls down onto the fact that you're not just building a rule set for Euro Bowl, you're building a rule set that is now going to get used for the rest of the year. So I think that's where, understandably, some of the vocal lack of riotous rookies, etc., comes from not just the fact that it's that one tournament, but it's actually potentially four or five of your other tournaments you're going to go to during the year have now hurt that team that you enjoy. And as I say, with one hat on, I'm not that bothered, but with the other hat on, I'm absolutely understanding of that. And it is a very tough job, and we should be just thank you to the guys from Greece for putting their hand up and saying yes, we will run it.
Oh, absolutely. Just because we're going to be critical of some of the rule set doesn't mean they're not going to be doing a fabulous job, and I am wholeheartedly in support of them, which is why I want to pick the rule set apart. It's so that people are thinking about it, talking about it, and planning to go, even if sadly it doesn't look like I will. Just a quick clarification: we had Sadasak, the lovely Greek coach, in the chat, clarifying that he believes France did play flings in Malta.
Yeah, they did. I've just checked the stats.
Lovely. Good. So they have the guts to do it, and I genuinely think if it was Malta's rule set again, and knowing what we know now and how things have panned out, etc., I think if we had a chance to repeat it, I think we would see more fling teams and teams in.
So in that rule it was set. It was Griff flings did 3 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss.
But you see, when it's Grifflings, they're not flings, they're Grifflings. It's to me, that's a different race. Anyway.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that we've had another comment from the lovely Leet BB, who is promising, nay, staking their own personal honour, that they will coach Ogres at the Euro Bowl. Or the Euro Open, I believe. They may even get on the team for, is it Slovakia or Slovenia? Sorry, whichever one of it is, I've just insulted the other half, hasn't it?
It's so, Serbia.
Serbia. Well, I've insulted all three.
yes.
I knew it was S and somewhere out east. So, yes, good luck to Serbia if you're taking Ogres. And that's exactly the sort of attitude we were talking about. Serbia, PC. Sorry, Leet. Exactly the attitude we're talking about. When people give stunties the short end of the stick, they're used to it. And they go, yeah, we're coming anyway. And I'll show you. And that's what stunties to me should be about. Not, ha ha ha, yep. I've got stunties, I've got the new power weapon. I'm quite happy for the wheel to turn and for other races to be at the top and other races to drop to the bottom. But not stunties. They should stay down the bottom. That's what stunties should be about. I don't like a stuntie with over 50%. I think they should be lesser than that. Okay, so the stunties are rubbish. Yeah, we've cut the list of teams to, well, we say that the ones we've talked up, Dark Elves, Lizard, Undead, Underworld, Amazon, Wood Elf, Norse, Orcs, Skaven, Tomb Kings, Necro, Vampires, Slan, and Nobs. Now, I still think Nobs are going to be a hard task to justify on a Euro Bowl team, on a European team, or a Euro Bowl team. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13... That is 13, 14 if you count Nobs. We have said half of the teams we believe are in a good place. Is there anything that just is screamingly wrong on the tiers? I thought when they knocked Underworld down from Tier 3 to Tier 1, wow, putting them in Tier 3 in the first place. But I thought, maybe other than Zons, I'm sort of all right with the tiering. Not necessarily with the amount being given to each tier, but with the actual gaps. Chorfs, you feel sorry for Chorf coaches? Okay.
I think there still will be some, but because people love Chorfs. But
Hargrim, your top pick for what's wrong?
It's hard because I have one for one that is definitely in the wrong tier needs bumping up, and one that's in the wrong tier needs bumping down.
And I'm only asking for one, so take a decision.
I'm gonna go with Amazons and say they need to be up the tier. They need to be tier one because they are just too strong in tier two.
Hellboy.
I don't care. We all play the same rule set. If someone wants to take the same teams as me, let's go. Let's just go, right? Like,
let's do it now. Idea? Let's do it right now.
I'll go right now, right? I'll go right now.
Outside, in the car park.
I'll take on any of you.
You've been doing it all night. All night you've been giving it this.
Exactly. No, no, but like genuinely, that's the thing, right? Look, it's amazing. We've got what? 13, I mean, we're hovering somewhere between 12 and 16 viable races.
Yeah.
Potentially for a Euro, and that is flavor, right, as well, you know, because there will be someone who goes, oh, I'll play Elven Union, whatever. I'm an Elven Union coach. I can make them work with that skills, that set. Ah, I've got it. I've got the big brain play on that one. Fine. So we're talking about, you know, there's going to be a really nice broad range of races picked. We're not just going to see the usual six plus two. But you know, we might see the usual six on some people's builds, but then we're going to see two wacky ones that we wouldn't normally see, or we may see three of the usual suspects and five things that we wouldn't have thought about a year certainly 2 or 3 years ago. We wouldn't have been looking at this diversity of race picks for
am I going to be surprised wasn't there? I mean, I agree. I think there's a nice looking bunch of races. Anyone that's interested, my pick, by the way, is Necro. I secretly think Necro. I don't want people to be bringing lots of Necro because I have no idea how to face the damn things. And I think they get just too much at this point. They've been just given just enough that they're going to be absolutely terrifying in the right hands. So I think they should have been tiered slightly more aggressively. What am I going to be surprised isn't there and isn't prevalent more at Eurobolt? Is it Nobs? Are we all thinking Nobs are not going to be there and then they're really not going to be there? And everyone's going to go, wow, but they had such good tiering. Let's give them even more.
That'd be nice.
What am I going to be surprised isn't there? Hargrim, what do you think?
To me, it's Tomb Kings.
Okay.
And it might be a little bit of a controversial pick, but I think Tomb Kings look incredibly strong for this rule set. And with enough practice, you can actually become really, really good at them. But they do require quite a bit to coach, and that's probably why we're not going to see them a lot. but it would still surprise me because they are a really strong race for the rule set, in my opinion.
Doctor, I really think I'm turning. What am I turning away from? What is not going to be at Euro Bowl?
I think in Euro Bowl, I think there are going to be less lizards than you expect.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But in Euro Open, I think there will be less elves.
Just elves in general, all four.
Just elves in general, all four. I'm perfectly happy to be wrong, but I think that whilst lizards are still amazingly strong, certainly in a format where you have, you know, you've only got a 25% chance of hitting a star, but lizards do still suffer quite badly in the fouling meta, which is still there. And if we're all taking Underworld, and Skaven and deep benches are still a thing, I think lizards start to drop into that kind of, yes, if you've got a really strong coach, you might take one.
Hmm.
And they still get their 6-block, 4-block, 2-guard, 5-block, 1-wrestle, 1-tackle, whatever you fancy. They're still really good. But I just think that when you're looking at that span of 14, let's call it, races, I think that lizards might not always make the pick, whereas they would have done in previous Euro Bowls.
See, this is why you've got a doctorate, I think. It's but that big brain taken through there. I completely agree. When I look at the Euro Bowl rules, one of the things I look at is races I like. And one of the races I like is Dark Elves. Dark Elves build lovely with 6 skills. I've got, you know, I can have 3 Blodgers, 2 Wrestle Witches, and my Leader Runner. It builds at 1150 lovely. I get 4 rerolls and an Apo for that, but I've only got 11 people. It's a lovely build. It's built to be played very aggressively. The problem with it is I'm looking at how many Underworld are going to be there. How bad is the fouling meta going to be? How many Amazons are going to be knocking me down and kicking me in the face? Because with an 11 elf build, even with an apothecary, I'm going to struggle if I'm losing 2 or 3 players. And I feel lizards do exactly the same. They build lovely, but when they face things that can remove a Saurus or two, 2 Sauruses down, lizards are dead. They can hardly do anything. And I think that's my worry behind lizards.
Yeah, so, but then I also think that then tapping into this, though, I think that then we will see less elves in the Euro Open just because of the diversity of teams to choose from. Your fallback is not going to be to just take Dark Elves, which was the case in Malta. In quite a lot of teams, Dark Elves were there.
Yeah.
You're going to fall back and take Slann and Skaven instead as the team that just has to pull the win out their backside.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the elves anymore.
Nope.
Because you're sat there, you know, you've got something like Tomb Kings, something like Necro, a Slann and a Skaven.
That's a real shame. I don't think elves got bad overnight. I still think a European team taking the 4 elven races could still do an incredible job. I do worry that both high elves and pro don't look that brilliantly tiered. But I think wood elves and dark elves build absolutely fine at that level. So I really don't have any concerns about them.
Again, I think the data is going to be skewed when you look at the tournaments, because I reckon we'll still see a high number of wood. Certainly wood elves will be taken a lot more, because in the same vein, as I said, with the nobility, people will go, oh, it's my chance to play my wood elves. And dark elves are still absolutely fine, especially if people decide to say, right, you can only play the vanilla team at my tournament. So then that suddenly brings lizards and dark elves right back into the talking point and undead. It brings them all back into the frame, exactly the same as NAF champs. I think that's something that we're going to see. Certainly in the UK, we've got NAF championships with 6 skills on lots of teams that get 6 skills here. And then you've got things like vampires, where if they do really well at NAF champs, the vampire coaches are going to be salivating about Euro Bowl with more. And I think Water Bowl is also another really interesting one, because we get to take, there's some stars that can get taken to Water Bowl. So you can kind of test a little bit like that as well. And the Welsh Open, you get 8 skills on loads of teams. So, okay, you get 8 skills on your Dark Elves, but you also get 8 skills on your Tomb Kings, on your Necro and stuff. So people can experiment with those builds at tournaments that are happening in the calendar anyway. And I think that those are the tournaments I'd be more interested in seeing how those races perform. When that, you know, how do 8 skill necro in the hands of a really good necro coach perform in a tournament where everyone gets 8 skills? Like, how does that perform? Because then that's going to just, that's going to exponentially increase when you take them into the setting where those other teams are on less skills.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. If you can live with dark elves with 8, then you can certainly live with them with 6. My other pick for a team that we're going to see less of than you would normally expect is I think we're going to be very short on dwarves. I think Chorfs is going to be very hard, even for the European Chorf lovers, to justify. You really need to love Chorfs to think that they can, you know, go toe-to-toe with the same amount of skills as Dark Elves and come out on top. I just don't think they can. And Dwarves, I don't think Dwarves are hosed in Tier 1. I think they're okay, but they're, if they do come up against the stronger teams, they're not going to have enough. And if they do come up against Vampires, they're not going to have enough. And Elves have only got to get lucky against them once, so I do think it's going to be a struggle to justify Dwarves. When, for example, Orcs, I think, are a much sexier pick, only one tier higher, but you just get that little bit more ability to deal with things. And, of course, you've already got that little bit more pace, which I think the meta moving towards fouling, moving towards removals, moving towards pace. When Dwarves are down to 9, even if they've got a bench, they're going to suffer on the field. Whereas Orcs, a little less so. They've got a little more pace to make up with it. Now, you did talk about if people go vanilla, so we do need to move on to the other half of this rule set because time is against us. There's such a lot to get through. Very briefly, then, no great surprises in the team goods we're allowed. We can have rerolls, we can have coaches, we can have cheers, we can have apothecaries, don't have coaches or cheers, unless you really can't find anything else to spend your money on. You can have dedicated fans, again, don't do it. You can have a team mascot. Any lovers of the team mascot for 30k?
Yeah, it's worse than three coaches, I think.
I tried it out at a vampire thing I was doing with three games of vampires. It did win me a couple of rerolls. I think I'd have won them just as well with three coaches. I think it would have got the same value back to me. But much more importantly, I lost a couple of coach-offs to opponents. And it would have saved opponents getting rerolls. So while I don't think it's a terrible inducement, I think probably just pouring that cash into coaches is still a better bet. You can get a Weather Mage. Any Weather Mage lovers?
Nah. Worse than three coaches.
Yeah, again, good, because there's a good way to not get invited on One World, One Blood Bowl again, and that's saying that Weather Mage is good value. You can have kegs, you can have bribes. You can have Joseph Bugman. I'll come back to him. Mortuary Assistant, of course, Plague Doctor, Wandering Apos, and a Master Chef. Now, one thing's missing, and one thing is new. So Joseph Bugman. Any fans of Bugman? He's not expensive at 100k, very fit-inable. He's your emergency 11th player if you're down on a drive, and he basically counts as a keg.
Someone will take him. You're going to have to get your rule book out, read what his rules are, put the rule book away, forget about him, and never face him ever again.
I don't think he's that terrible.
He's not, well, like,
particularly as he doesn't count as a star.
Yeah, but...
He's 100k, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you losing for spending 100k on Joseph Bugman?
Well, instead that's of a keg, you're basically spending two kegs, but you get one keg value. And then if you're under 11, he plays a whole drive for you.
That's just not worth it.
If you look at the teams that have the gold to spend on Bugman, they have the gold to spend on... They have cheap fodder linemen anyway, so you just buy two linemen or three.
And better
or
toys.
Or 18 in the case of Snotlings. Oh, wait, no Riders.
Nope. No, I was going to say, that's the missing thing. So we've got Bugman. We're not a big fan of him. I don't know. I do quite like him, but again, I think at 70, maybe at 100, he's too much.
PC, you're a competitive player, whether you like it or not. You are not taking Joseph Bugman in any of the 14 races that we've talked about.
No, I'm not. You're right.
Yeah, there we are. Right.
But I'd do other things first. No Rioters rookies and no biased refs. So the biased refs are a good nerf, isn't it? Because mainly it's Underworld that tends to afford biased refs, and we haven't got those. But no Riotous rookies. Does that just kill Snotlings? Is that just them done?
Yep. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good. Let's move on. Enough on that, then. So that's what we've lost. We've lost Riotous rookies. We've gained Joseph Bugman. We think it's good that we've lost Riotous rookies. And if you're a Snotling lover, well, then you love your Snotlings. But you don't expect to win if you're coaching Snotlings. And if you take Joseph Bugman, we think it's probably a bad choice, though. I think it's an interesting one. Okay.
The views of One World, One Blood Bowl do not always respect the views of the participants on One World, One Blood Bowl.
No, but it's my show, so I can say what I want. Right.
Absolutely, but the views do not always really.
Now, here's the complex thing. When you go to the Euro Bowl, you go as a team of 8. When you go to Europa, you go as a team of 4. In either case, you get a budget of as yet undiscussed currency to spend on packs for your squad. Two of them cost 1 point, squad point, and two of them cost 2 squad points. And you get, if there are 4 of you, you get 4, and if there are 8, you get 8. This means you can only have one of each as well. You can't all buy, for example, one of the 1 point packs. This means that as well as the four packs, it also means, of course, that not everyone will have a pack. It is logistically impossible for everyone to have a pack. You can either have, between four people, you can either have the 2 2-point stack packs, or you can have the 2 1-points and one of the 2 point packs. But at least one, if not two coaches, will have nothing. Which brings us back to Corn Knight's comment right at the start of the show, where he talked about, I don't care what rules we have, as long as everyone plays by the same rules. I can be sat with my Dark Elves facing a Dark Elf team that has a different set of rules, that has more than me because they were allocated one of their team's packs. Is that just in as a concept, is asymmetric building, is it a good thing for Euro Bowl? What do you think?
I think it's interesting.
Interesting usually means shit and wrong. So is that what you mean?
Yeah, more or less. I think it adds an interesting aspect of...
Again, do you mean shit and wrong?
A little bit, yeah. Of team play, genuinely.
Yeah, who gets shafted and who gets the good pack?
Well, so say I'm playing Orcs with no pack. I'm reasonably confident I can hold down a draw against most teams, even if they're playing with a pack and I'm not. But say I'm playing, Skaven or something with the Athena pack, I'm more likely to be in a better position in which I can go for the win, right?
So are we saying so we're even more leaning into the idea of there are some teams we allocate as just get a draw and then other teams that are going for the wins?
Which I think is overall negative for the Blood Bowl experience, but I think it's something different.
Yes, yes, lots of things are different. That doesn't make them good. Brexit was different, and look how terrible that's going. Hargrim, asymmetric gaming, are you a fan?
I'm a bit on both ends. Because
I have
on one
heard
hand,
that about you.
On the one side, I think it's, as Dementa said, it's a very interesting aspect of how team play will develop, and I think it really creates like new walls of how, new areas and new dimensions of how do I create the optimal 8-man roster with these skill packs? Where do we allocate these points? And it gives this new depth, a new dimension, which I think is really, really, really exciting.
So when I put together Team One World, One Blood Bowl with the four of us, I'm obviously captain. And I take you to one side, Hargrim, and I say, I put my arm around you and I say, now listen, young man, I think you should have one of the 2-point packs. I think, you know, after the World Cup, I think I can get by without. I think Hellboy and Dementor can just use a 1 point and they'll cope. I think you need the 2-point pack. How's that going to feel?
I think it puts on an immediate amount of pressure because suddenly you're allocating, you know, points over to someone else. But I think that aside from that aspect, the psychological aspect of it, I think it is a really, really, really interesting depth to how we're going to see the meta develop and how we're going to see it evolve over the course of the next year. The other side of it is that it does create these skewed mirror matches if you do manage to face them. And I think skewed mirror matches is not something I like. I think a mirror matchup should come down to who is the better player and not who has the better skill points.
I've never understood why Hall of Mirrors exists. They are terrible places. Skewed mirrors, are you a fan, Hellboy? Dr. Hellboy, I do apologize.
No, it's fine. I think there's some really interesting things here. So I think my concern, I agree with some of the concerns with this, but I think it's a great thing to really force you to talk to your teammates. I think that's brilliant. In terms of, and really get the team...
Not everyone's in a team with Andy Devo. Some of our teammates do talk to us.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think that there needs to be an evolution one step further, which, and Corn Knight said it in the chat, my real concern is what the tiebreakers then start to affect in the Swiss format. Because whilst variance exists in Blood Bowl, the Swiss format within the team now is going to be really, really important. Because if you're vanilla Skaven win their first two games, you might well face a team that's going to beat your vanilla Skaven because they're stacked with something else in round three, hampering that. Now, what I would like to see, I know Kaelor...
So don't worry, Hargrim. You'll fall down to the point where you're just playing the people without stacks, without packs. And then you'll get some wins.
Now, Kaelor talked about the... I believe it's the Warhammer 40,000 scene where they do their team tournaments, where basically what happens is, if I'm playing your team, PC, we flip a coin and we decide who's going first, right? Mm. And I've got my 8 teams. And I'd go to you, right, PC, here's Underworld... vanilla Underworld and, I don't know, stacked, nasty stacked Amazons. Right, who do you want to face those two? And you pick and you go, you know what, Dementor's Tomb Kings, they're the one to take on the Underworld. Right, then you send two back at me and you go, right, here's my vanilla Dark Elves, but my stacked Underworld. What do you want? Who do you want to play that? And then I fire one back at you and I go, right, actually, Devo's Khorne are going to take on those stacked whatever, you know, and you alternate like that. There's some system like that. Kaelor was explaining it.
Yes, a drafting system for the draw.
Exactly, a draw. And I think that's how we could see this team format evolving, is if we're going to start putting, you know, extra blessings onto teams and stuff, if that is the route that now we're going to start looking at for team formats as maybe a general rule in Euro Bowl going forward, it might be an experiment we never see again. But I would be really interested to see what would happen if you did that kind of format, where you can then at least have some say on putting, you know, right, you've put forward two star player builds, I'm putting forward a star player build versus your star player. You know, let's see what happens. Mm. But my concern is that we end up in a situation where, I know Joe Manji talked about, you know, that England team where they were like, hang on a minute, let's not score three touchdowns, let's score two. Because we don't want to get to, you know, and I'm concerned that we might hit a point where that actually might be a thing.
Yeah.
That might actually become a thing because you really don't want.
Don't worry, Mr. Skaven, coach. We've already won this round. Try and draw so you don't end up on too high a board.
Exactly. Like I'm genuinely scared that could be a level that you hit where you're getting team orders because you don't want your vanilla teams to go too high up the board.
Don't be too scared. It is just a game.
I think
scared is just a respective, really. You know.
Okay, I know.
Concerned.
You have thoughts, which you can't deny.
I think the 40K system of like drafting matchups is a really, really good structure. Now, I've worked in competitive League of Legends for about 3 years now, and when we draft characters, we draft it in the same ordering. So we'll say, right, we're going to pick this character now. Now you respond with two. Then you respond with two, and then you respond back, so that you're constantly giving that back and forth, and you're drafting the matchups instead of just saying, we're just doing Swiss draw.
And if someone's having a very bad tournament, for example, you can protect them a bit. You can find a matchup for them and say, no, they need the confidence boost. You know, we'll give the goblins to someone who's not having a good time. And then someone that's doing a really good job, someone that's having a lot of ego explosions, we can put them in front of, you know, a team that might be a little harder. So you can sculpt it in that way. Dementor, I see you fidgeting. Obviously, it is past your bedtime. You've had a lot of sugar. But I suspect it's that the voice of your father is resounding in your head saying, but where are the logistics for this? How much time will all this drafting take? Is it that, or are you one of these wild, young, reckless things that wants it all thrown to the wind? Hell in a handcart. Let's make it up as we go.
I like the Swiss system as it currently is, the Swiss within Swiss for teams. I think the drafting could be interesting. I think my biggest problem with Swiss is that, as Dr. Elbow mentioned, you don't want to be punished for winning games.
Mm.
That's the biggest problem.
I can certainly see a case for a twist on the Swiss. There was some discussion with... I was talking with the lovely Core about the Birmingham International format, and he's considering maybe having fixed order of six. So you put your six in, and that is the order they play in for the entire tournament.
Yep.
So if you're board one, you stay board one all the way through. Which would be interesting.
Yeah, a chess system of having boards and just saying, right, you are board one. That also could work, right? That also could work. It's all mind games, right? It's all mind games, and it's great, and that's fun. Like, we're talking about stuff that's actually really quite fun, you know.
Are we saying that at least the asymmetric rule set has made us break the box that we've been in, where it has to be Swiss, it has to be the same on each side, it has to be a rigid formula, and it's made us think, are all of these rules sensible? Because there's a part of me that kind of likes the chaos that asymmetrical rule building is going to bring. You'll have a team of eight. I think you'll have four or five with packs and three or four without. And I think that's going to be really interesting and different. And I'm a big fan of interesting and different.
I think interesting is different is fine when it's not the European Championships.
And I mean interesting as in actually quite interesting, not shit and wrong.
Yeah, but yes. I think the Euro Bowl should not be the time for innovation in rule sets.
But come on, this isn't football. That's no one's getting multi-million pound contracts on the back of this. It's a game. I'm not going to say it's a kid's game. I think people that say that, they're wrong. It's not a kid's game. No kid I know plays this well, except the kids I know that play this well. But mostly it's hoary old adults with big old beards. It is just a game. We can say, what the hell this year, and just make it the year of asymmetric chaos and see what happens, can't we? And wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be different?
Well, yeah, from the
I know, not different for you. You've got a life expectancy of a gnat. Your memory goes to last year and maybe half the year before. But for those of us that have been around for a while, so the other side of the cameras here, Hargrim and Hellboy, different to your last 6 or 7 years, you know, back when this lad was in nappies, we've been playing the same interior Swiss sorts of formats for a long old time. Doesn't a year of madness appeal?
I've been playing longer than Hargrim, I think.
Probably. No, but I think a year of chaos would do some good. And this is going to sound like the weirdest tinfoil hat conspiracy sort of like level of shit. Bear with me on this one. A year of chaos will shake up the standards and the foundations that have been set up over the years so hard that people are going to have to rethink everything they have done since the beginning of the NAF format. They're going to have to rethink, is this the right thing we're doing? Are they even going to look at the Swiss draw and say, this is just the way we need to do it? Or are they going to look at some new system and say, this could actually possibly work? I think a year shaking up every single foundation that we can is going to revitalize the entire format and the entire scene.
Counterpoint.
And I think that's a good thing.
Are we actually going to see these packs in play, though? We're going to see them at the Euro Bowl. But every tournament I've seen so far, and I definitely haven't taken this from Marky Mark in the chat, it's my own idea that I've come up with and want to say because people are giving him lots of praise and I want it. Isn't it entirely possible that we'll see lots and lots of rule sets where people have the tiering, they have the values, but they don't put the packs in play because they're just really complex and difficult?
That is entirely possible. I know for the Danish tournament scene, we're actually looking at doing the opposite. So we're going to keep the tiering and we're going to keep the skill pack. So at an individual tournament, everyone gets 2 points so that people can test out the rosters that they want to play for the Euro Bowl. Or if they just want to play something different, they can still do that. I know that's the general consensus we have here.
Now, while we do talk consensus and the meta in general, and that is important, I do just want to finish the final part of this rule set. So let's have a quick look at these four packs. You can take the Blessing of Hermes for 1 squad point. That will mean that for 1 skill point can be exchanged or more for gold at a rate of 30k for each skill point. But you can't go above 1,200. So it's only actually useful for people in the first, three tiers?
Yeah.
And even so, then, to only change in 1 SP, because you can't go over 1,200.
Yeah, so originally, the reason it's like that is because the Euro Bowl Charter says it has to be between 1 KTV and 1.2 KTV. And they need a caps meeting to change the charter.
Right. So is this one entirely useless?
Pretty much, yeah. I think you can use it on a few teams, but it's generally the skill point is better.
Well, and as you probably do need to not pick some of the packs so that you can afford the others, perhaps that's one of the ones that goes under the bus. The Blessing of Artemis allows skill stacking. Costs you 1 of your 4 squad points, and you can, if you're tier 1 and 2, you can stack once. Tiers 3 and 4 can stack twice, and tiers 5 and 6 can stack 3 times. It does cost you it's very complex, but basically you lose 1 skill point in total, I believe, to then do as much of that stacking as you choose to do. Do we like that? It's a single skill point, it allows stacking. And this is the other way around. It's most useful up at the bad end of the tiers.
Yeah, so Nurgle, Nobs, Chaos.
They can have 3 stacks out of this. Yeah, I can see Chaos with 3 stacks and they're, 9 or 10 skills? 9, isn't it? Being pretty sexy. Do we like this one, Hellboy? Are you a fan of these packs?
You know, I think it's yeah. I think there's a lot. There's a lot, right? There's a lot to take in, and I think this is the next. I think when you sit there, you sit down with your team and you say, right, who's wanting to take what? Let's look at, you know, which are good. At that point, there, you probably, you know, you're probably still deciding four or five of the teams, regardless of whether they're vanilla or not. Like four or five of the races, whether they're vanilla or not, that doesn't matter. You've still got to pick a bunch of those. It's then on those borderline ones where it's like, you know. We'll use Devo with Korn as an example. Let's say Korn was short a tiny bit of cash, but if Devo gets that cash, he knows he can make Korn amazing, and he says, "Look, guys, I trust me. If I get this much cash, I can do this." Or you know, or Korn with Slan. If Korn says to you know
to afford that extra blitzer to upgrade one more line frog to a blitzer. Can I have the cash one, and I can trade in? Yeah, you know,
exactly. And I think it's those discussions that happen then. But I think that the races that you're picking probably for Euro Bowl don't really need to be dependent on the blessings you're taking. I think if you're not taking two star player blessings, then you better have some really good, strong, like you've got to have
okay.
some strong...
Let's have a look at the other ones then so that we can bring them onto the table for the discussion too. The Blessing of Ares for two squad player points allows star players. There you are. That's the one Hargan was just talking about.
Boazons!
So you can take a star player, you can roster between tier 1 and 4 one star player, but for the same cost, you can have two star players in tiers 5 and 6. If a star player costs up to 100k, you lose one skill point, up to 202, up to 303, and up to 404 skill points to put that star on. So not only do you buy the pack, you then have to pay skill points to hire the star, and of course, pay for the star. We'll just cover the fourth one, and then we can discuss them all at once. The Blessings of Athena. You get one extra skill point, but... you have to spend it on a skill that doesn't exist more than three times on your roster. And no additional skill may be selected more than three times. So, for example, if you were to take Dark Elves and have this pack, you could not take Block if you already had three Blitzers, even if you'd not taken Block anywhere else. So none of your skills can be Block. None of your skills can be... one of your skills could be Dodge if you had two Witches, and then you'd be at your maximum of Dodge. But if you take even one more dodge or one more block anywhere on the team, you cannot have this one. So when it says you can't have it more than three times, it means in total, not for this skill. So I came up with, well, hang on, I've got my three Blodge Blitzers, my two Wrestle Witches, I've got my Leader Runner, but I'm making my extra skill, I'm going to put Dodge on one of my line people and make the Leader on the Runner my extra skill. And I was told, no, you can't, because that would give you six dodges, which would mean this would break it. Indeed, you can't even have it as Dark Elves. If you have two Witches with Dodge, and you put three Dodges on your Blitzers, that's already meant that this blessing cannot come to you, because that would be five Dodges on your team. What do we think?
A team like Amazons...
yes.
...becomes very... like, you know, they've got seven skills already, so why not give them an eighth one? You know, like, so this is then when we start getting some interesting decisions to get made, right? Because obviously we've got, you know, the skill stack will be useful. Like, you know, I could see it being pretty practical on things like Tomb Kings, maybe humans, things like that. You can see a skill stack, you know, those are teams where a Mighty Blow Tackle is quite nice.
I'd say in the modern meta, there's almost no team where a Mighty Blow Tackle isn't nice.
Yeah, probably. Sadly, I live in the Dark Ages.
Even Underworld, for example.
If it's not Guard, Block, Wrestle, or Dodge, you better explain to me what the skill can do. But I think this is where the interesting stuff comes in, because, you know, Hargrim might sit there and say, right, guys, Boazons, this is the way to do it. Someone else might say, White Dwarfzons, this is the way to do it. And someone else may say, right, give me eight skills on Amazons and watch me just rip everyone else apart.
Yeah,
and
I think
Amazons can function with only, you know, we've gone away from, if Amazons are now different, three Block, three Wrestle, okay, that's three Block, three Wrestle, two Guard, okay.
Well, three Block, two Wrestle, and a dirty player, and you drop two players to get a bribe in.
Yeah, I hate the idea that someone has a star, someone else has maybe an extra skill. I'm still not kind of cool with the idea that someone has a star and the other person just doesn't.
It doesn't
someone
matter
has an extra skill and the other person just doesn't. Because my Amazons, my squad decided my Amazons were fine without that extra skill. But yours decided you needed the extra skill. So we sit down to play each other. You've got one more skill than me. That feels strange to me still.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is strange, but it also doesn't matter because everyone's got the same options. They're all there on the table. It's just which ones do you pick?
Yeah.
So you can choose wrong, but we've all got the same choice.
But it's not my choice. It's my team's choice. Effectively, my team captain's choice. Who he allocates the squad points to.
You just lose the game and then you call your captain a shitter. Easy done.
Yeah.
I mean, he will be, but or she or they. Okay, so we're kind of all right with the asymmetry. We kind of think it's interesting, and not in a shit and wrong way, but in a let's see what happens way.
Yeah, I think it. I don't think I'd like to see it again. I think it'll be interesting for this year. I actually think the Athena pack is the core of this rule set. I think it's the most important pack. I think you should be taking two of these on most Hero Bowl teams. I think currently I'm looking at Amazons with Pack D, Pack Athena, and Norse with Pack Athena.
Yeah, so you're looking for a team that isn't, because in Norse you then couldn't put block on either of your Valkyries or you'd invalidate your conditions.
I wouldn't anyway. I go guard them both.
You don't have to sound quite so. I'll explain to the old man why his thinking is shit. I'm talking to the masses, not just to you, Dementor. Not everyone's had the.
Can I cast your mind back?
The joy of being raised by your father.
Can I cast your mind back to what 2020? No, 2019, and we're panicking about this leaked rule set. Right?
Oh yes.
Blood Bowl's dead. They've taken away dwarves. Panic!
I remember.
And now look at us. Now we're sitting here nitpicking the hard work of a team that, as I say, the fundamentals are: did they get the venue? Did they have the hotels? Did they have the transport?
We don't know any of those yet.
Right, but those are the things they should be worrying about, right? I would be interested to see when we get to the point post Euro Bowl in Greece, and we sit down and we go, okay, how many matchups were really unfair for you out of the six? And I look at you and go, well, one. And how many were you diced in? Well, I was diced in three, mate. Oh my god, I rolled triple skulls in this one and double skulls here. You know, like it's Blood Bowl. Still, we're always going to.
So in this future, you've lost four games.
Yeah. Hey, look, I can never, I can't achieve 007 like Hargrim did, right? But I can still aim for 006, right?
If I was picking an imaginary future, I'd pick one where I lost less games. Just saying.
That's fine. But I'm saying, like, if you're...
That's actually the Jolie watchdog.
If we're complaining, like, blood bowlers, as we see, are just inherent whingers and moaners, you know? I looked at this rule set and went, oh my goodness me, they've given all the nice options to all my favourite teams. Thank you. That's the first thing. When
but
I
they've
at
given them to your opponent's favourite teams too. That's the problem.
That's fine. We're all going to have a great time and play good Blood Bowl. It's going to be lovely, right? But Blood Bowlers whine. We whinge. We complain about things.
Yes.
It's just another thing that's on the list. I think after the tournament, I don't think the impact of this is going to be as big or as scary as people think.
Oh, you're terrifying me now. You're reminding me of my good friend Purple Goo. At least he tells me I'm his friend, so I'm going to believe him. Said recently, of course, that if we were to return to Fumble and play some Black Box Trophy, I would, of course, only paint it as him trying to regain top spot with the minimal effort and the lowest commitment possible. And I said, you think me so evil and mean? He goes, no, you just need some content for your show. And similarly, yes, we could just go, the rule set's out, isn't it great? But I need content for my show, Hellboy. And we've provided everyone with 2 hours of that already.
Oh, God, the rule set's awful, PC.
Could you say something controversial, please? And could someone be racist? That always sells well. Just about the Greek. I mean, nothing awful, obviously.
I thought that's normally your job, PC.
Well, I would say that I slightly prefer Turkish tzatziki to Greek tzatziki. There we are. I'm gonna go that far. Yeah, yeah. I've had better tzatziki in Turkey than I've ever had in Greece. But then I'm not going to Greece this next year, so I can say that safely. No, look.
I wonder what the most wrong way you can pronounce gyros is. It's not like that.
Gyros. No, I would love to have gone to the Euro Bowl. I just don't think it's for me. We were looking, me and my partner, at actually going to the Greek Open with the lovely Sadasak, who was in chat earlier. Probably his bedtime already. had talked about, you know, hosting the Greek Open, and I said, oh, we might come over for it, because we do both love Greece. It just doesn't look like 24 is a good time for us. So hopefully in 25 I shall be joining people at a Euro Bowl. I actually think the rule set looks great. We've pulled it apart. We've looked at the various bits of it. I share people's concerns that the packs, it's complicated already, and then you reach the packs. And the first time I read it through, I read all the tiering, I read all the races, I thought, seven tiers, okay. And the special points, the skill points change, as well as the money changing all the way down the tiers. All right. I can get my head around all of that, I suppose. And then just as I was starting to ruminate, starting to think about it, I came across the packs, and I thought, I'm going to go and have a drink before I come back and read the rest of it then. And I've spoken to a lot of the people that have had the same experience. It already feels they've grasped quite a nettle before they've reached those packs. Maybe we're not going to see them a lot around over the next year, but we are going to see the rules set around a lot. I think it's pretty good on balance. I think we're mostly saying that we're quite impressed with the number of teams that seem viable. There's not that much that seems massively mistiered. You're all nodding because I'm making you with the tone of voice I'm using. And nodding works great for a podcast, so do feel free to just nod along at things I say and not vocally support me in any way. Good, they're all making hand gestures, and they're all very supportive ones, of course. Look, this sounds like a wrap-up, it's because I'm wrapping up, but I'm going to do what I've been doing of custom of late, which is drop in on all three of our lovely guests and say, is there anything I should have asked them or should have talked about that we haven't as yet? So as we say goodnight, I will start with, let's start with Dementor. He's the youngest and probably needs to get to bed. So just before you clean your teeth, young man, what have we not covered or spoken about this evening that you would like to now talk about briefly?
I'd just like to quickly touch on humans, because I don't think we did as much as
At 17, we all would have liked to touch on humans. Just hang in there, cleaning your teeth, use the sprays.
That's what the freshers week is for.
Absolutely, freshers week. They all get drunk. It'll happen. Blood Bowl. Sorry, Blood Bowl, yes.
I think, humans are very popular on the continent. I think there'll be a lot more of them than people expect. I think they're a lot better than we've given them credit for here.
Two more skills than Dark Elves, really? I think there's a reason we brushed over them, but okay, thank you for your comment. Hellboy, let's come to cross to you. Give us that big brain thought. What's been truckling through that million-dollar mass?
Thank you, PZ. It's a great question. And my eight teams, if you told me right now that I would take to Euro Bowl, are Underworld, Amazon, Skaven, Necro, Tomb Kings, Vampires, Slan, and Orcs. And I'm looking for seven other coaches that can play one of those races. That's if you told me right now. Okay, change.
Yeah,
but those are my eight races that I would take to Euro Bowl right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a space for Nobs in there, but probably not. That's the thing, isn't it?
Not for me. There are reasons.
I think one of the
very interesting things that I would look at is how I could get my team to practice with the races that are going to cause my opponents the most headaches on games 3 and 6. So I would be asking people to play a butt ton of vampires, mm-hmm. so that the vampire coach was ready in game 3. To be outthinking the opponent who's now sat there going, oh God, I've played two amazing coaches. Now I'm playing this guy with vampires, and now I've got to think because every turn he's got a sack on the ball. Same with the Slan coach, same with the Skaven coach. You know, and I would be, and the Necro coach as well, I'd be making sure that those coaches were in the peak of mental focus to make sure that they were causing their opponents the most pain in the games. And likewise, I'll be trying to get reps in against those races where you need to think about positioning, because I think there'll be a lot of games going to the wire on time at this Euro Bowl.
Yeah, I've also noticed for things like vampires, you get a lot more. There's just so many more decisions to take as well as dice to roll. Same with all the little races. So I think we are going to see that timing becomes really, really key. We already did at the World Cup. Many games didn't actually finish. They got called to a finish. Hargrim, what's your final thoughts for the evening?
I'm going to put my Boa Amazon list out here because I honestly think that people should be playing it more other than just vanilla Amazons. And I'm going to sound insane, and everyone else has been telling me that I sound insane for the build. But here it is. 12 players, 2 block blitzers, a wrestle blocker, a guard blocker, Boa. You get 2 rerolls, that's it. play it, see how it feels, and you're gonna see exactly how strong the roster is.
No blockers, though.
You take two blockers, one with guard, one with wrestle.
Oh, I see. And then two blitzers. Right.
Yep.
Father, you're not going to let him get away with this, are you? You would never let me get away with this.
What specifically do you wish to say to him, young man?
No, nothing. I'll play it and see. Sounds hilarious. Like this is. I think whilst Hargrim's suggestion earlier may have sounded a bit tinfoil hat, I think there is something to be said about it being quite refreshing to be looking at as this. I think the one thing that people should take away from this this episode of One World, One Blood Bowl is how much diversity in terms of choices there are. And yeah, it is genuinely exciting that, you know, where was undead on the table? You know, and I said about the lizards, and you know, and where are dwarves? You know, so we're looking at
there aren't dwarves.
We looked at these stalwart powerhouses of the last, you know, fifteen years probably of having these races appear in every Euro Bowl team, and now we're looking at builds where, you know, team building where they might not. They still may be there, and that's absolutely fine. But the diversity has increased in the teams. And hopefully that will ricochet through and be great for the future.
I'm sure it will, and I do think we're going to see a lot more viable builds. And I'm not hating that. When there were eight of the, you know, the given 10, and I think that's how a lot of teams turned up, knowing who they were going to face, what races they were going to be playing, and what to put into place to make that happen. And this is a much more chaotic and free world, and I think that's great. That's great for the game. It's great for the Euro Bowl. And it means, I think, again, we're going to see some traditional powerhouse races, nations, not doing as well as they might expect to. Hargrim, how much is BOA? Are they
200k?
200, eh?
Feels awful.
So does that mean it's three, not two?
Yeah. It's three skills you're giving, sorry.
You see, if they were 100,
right on the cutoff.
If they were 190, you might tempt me a little more. Because once I'm up into the 200s, I'm looking at why am I not having Grombrindar? Which on a team like Amazon's, the ability to just give skills out willy-nilly, depending what you need that turn, is kind of sexy.
I would expect to see that potentially on the Italian team. They did that last Euro Bowl. They put the White Dwarf on the Amazon team, and it
wasn't it Denmark.
Yeah,
yeah.
Team Denmark put Grombrindle on their Amazons.
Yep. Also works very well on Norse. I've found again a very cheap team that can afford it.
Yeah.
I did the same thing as Hellboy. I looked at what races that I want to take and to see if anything challenged me tonight. My picks were Dark Elves, because I think you just can't go anywhere without Dark Elves. If you've got eight races, one of them should be Dark Elves. Similarly, one of them should be Underworld and one of them should be Undead. That was it from Tier 1 from me. I was looking at Lizards for the longest time, but I swapped them out for other nice things. I can't not take Wood Elves and I can't not take Amazons. So that gives me five. I then think Skaven have to go. I think they just won turn so strong in 2020 rules that I think Skaven gives me six. I want Vampires for seven because I really think three might be one too high. I know lots of people have said they are tiered too high at the moment and that perhaps, you know, probably too aggressively at the moment, and perhaps they're not as good as we're fearing. They might be, though. People get better at facing them. People also get better at using them. I think three could be a little too powerful for them. That only leaves me one pick, and that pick has to go between Necro and Nobs.
No, where's your Slan?
Where's your Khemri?
And Slan. And Khemri. And of those, I can't justify Nobs. I just think they're too rubbish. Tomb Kings, they may be solid, but I just think there's too many things that can just take the ball away from them. At one bad play, and they're gone. So that left me deciding between Slan and Necro. I'm no Kayfog. No one, none of us is. I don't think I'm as good with Slan. I'm not sure many are. I think they can be incredibly brilliant, but they can also go wrong so easily. That my eight was rounded out with Necro. I think they're going to be powerful in this rule set. That's the eight I would take.
But that's why you're on Team England, where Cor has taken Slan for you. So there we go.
I'm not on Team England. I have not put my name forward, and nor would they have me were I to. They have better coaches than I available to them. Now, that's all we've got time for this evening. That's 2 hours and more. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. Lovely to have you with me this evening and to pick apart what is an incredibly complex rule set. But at its core, I think it's quite exciting, genuinely, to see something so radically different. I understand why some of the older hands are up in arms about the asymmetric gaming. I do think that's... it's taking a chance. And yeah, it could be that it all goes horribly wrong. It could be that people come away from that thinking, do you know, I feel cheated. I sat down in the final and my Wood Elf team faced their Wood Elf team and they had 30 SP more than, you know, they had 3 skills more than me, or they had more gold than me, meaning they could buy that extra catcher I couldn't. And I just think that's going to feel weird to people. Whether that weird is a good thing or not, we're not going to know till afterwards. But already some people have set their minds against it. I'm not against it. I do think the packs, to me, I'd have just made 5 or 6 packs available, tried to balance them and made everyone can pick one. I think the idea of some people having packs and others not is already very weird. When you tier to try and balance everything up, you then add on packs to try and deliberately unbalance it. That feels kind of odd to me. But hey, look, perhaps we live in a world where things will be less stale. Perhaps in the future, if you want to have Wood Elves, someone else on your team has to be talked into taking Nurgle. And I could see something where we pair races up. And some things like that. You know, there are all sorts of ways we're not running Blood Bowl tournaments that we could be. We've talked already about the drafting system. We've talked about a set chess order system within teams. There's a lot more team tournaments coming in England, certainly next year. I'm sure it's true all around the world. After the World Cup, that's a format people seem to be really getting into. These rules are going to be everywhere. We've got no choice. We're going to have to learn them, get to love them, and at least we'll all get a chance to play with our knobs. And maybe not at the big thing, but perhaps we'll just take our knobs out somewhere with less people around. And that might be fun for everyone, because, as Hellboy says, we've all got them in a box. Right, I'm going to call that a night. There's no real conclusion to this one. I just wanted to have a nice chat about those rules, because they're on the topic of everyone's tongue. It's every Sunday from now until the new year of 2024 is either Christmas or New Year's Eve or other incredibly difficult things to organise a One World, One Blood Bowl for. I may try and get one done before the new year. It may be that we're back in January. But for now, if everyone could wave to find me a nice point to find in the edit. And thank you very much. That was One World, One Blood Bowl number 45. The Euro Bowl rules have dropped. We will see you soon. Thank you for coming.